Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and thank you for joining us for this worldwide transmission. It is Tuesday, the 24th day of February, 2009. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. We've got Dr. Edwin Vieira scheduled for later in the transmission today to get his take on not just the states moving, now close to 30 of them moving towards sovereignty. Some states are now passing those resolutions, like Oklahoma. We don't just have him coming on about that. We're going to be discussing how sheriffs and counties and, quote, committees of safety, that's what the Sons of Liberty first set up in the decade before the Revolutionary War, are being set up across the United States as well as a counter to the globalist. Other than that, I've got a lot of important news I want to go over today, very important information as things just accelerate and develop faster and faster inside this New World Order system, and as the people awaken and the establishment attempts to block that awakening and suppress the people. I do want to take a lot of phone calls in this first hour, second hour, third hour, fourth hour today, but you know, I've said this probably 1,000 times and I'll say it again, and overall I've gotten better about going to the calls when I give the number out, but I tend to get stuck on each call going over all their questions and comments and then trying to break it down in some detail. But in the interest of people being able to get on the show who can never get through, I'll just say that anybody who can call who wants to, but I would like to give first-time callers and folks who haven't been able to get through a chance on the air, a chance to hear from military, a chance to hear from police about all the urban warfare gun confiscation drills going on across the country, a chance for the population to talk about the fact that $9.7 trillion has been stolen by the offshore banks out of the United States, just from the United States alone. They're also looting other nations in the name of bailouts to fix the economy. It's a type of financial terrorism where they stage the crisis and say, do whatever we say, give us unlimited power and funds, or the world will end. And then as people capitulate, things only get worse because we're being routed through financial military attack, financial warfare. As the Japanese say, all business is war. Well, it certainly is with the international bankers. The toll-free number to join us on air today is 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231, and we will get you up and on the air today. Here are some of the important news stories I have in front of me. Bill seeks to withhold highway funds to states who don't comply with Real ID. Yeah, Bush signed an executive order last year saying that if states didn't let foreign companies take over their infrastructure and put toll roads on them, they wouldn't get their money. They take our state money, and then the states sign over their sovereignty, not just to the criminal federal government, but to the offshore corporations and banks that are looting us. And this dovetails with a CBS News report that you would think was a big expose about thousands of offshore tax havens and how a lot of the bailout money's going to that. But really, they're just setting a precedent to set up a world regulatory body over all of this, and then they will selectively enforce it themselves. It's the very banks and brokerage firms that run the New World Order that don't pay taxes, don't pay corporate taxes, and don't pay private taxes. Remember, over 65% of the Congress, on record, doesn't pay taxes. This is a pack of criminals. So we'll go over Bill seeks to withhold highway funds to states who don't comply with Real ID. Rupert Murdoch warns nations will be redefined, futures altered. There's a new story out of KRMG claiming that I basically put out the hoax of the camera in the digital converter box when we expose the hoax. Thanks a lot, KRMG. That's really nice of you. And we'll get into a lot more. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Every day, the mainstream media is forced to admit that the climate change, global warming crowd are a pack of liars. But they always say, oh, it's a mistake. They accidentally, at weather monitoring sites across the planet, claimed that carbon dioxide levels were rising faster than they were. Oh, they accidentally claimed that the Earth was getting hotter in 2008 when it actually had record cold temperatures in the last 100 years. Oh, they accidentally did this, they accidentally did that. Like Al Gore in his film, The Inconvenient Lie, shows that carbon dioxide levels rise and that then heat rises. When in all of the government university studies, the heat level rises from the sun predominantly, and then there's more life forms on the planet in warm weather, and so more carbon dioxide is exhaled by humans and animals and insects and plankton, and then carbon dioxide levels go up, and then that accelerates the life cycle. The Earth blooms in hot cycles, just like the Earth itself has seasons, depending on its axis and its rotation and where it is in its orbit around the sun. And so this is a spring and summertime when it's warming. It is a fall and wintertime when it's cooling. And that's just a fact. And the establishment knows that. But there's another story in the New York Times today that I want to go through later where it says, Gore pulls slide of disaster trends. And he's tying in tsunamis and wildfires and earthquakes. I've seen him do this before, showing that disasters went up in the last 10 years. Which has nothing to do, even if you believe that global warming is real or man-made, it has nothing to do with it. And by the way, I have some mainstream news articles here where the governments of Europe and England are proposing not just taxes on cows and sheep and goats and fish and all meat, not just taxes on your trash, taxes on light bulbs, toilets, taxes on fireplaces or banning space heaters, saying they are, you know, hurt the climate. They want to tax countries when they have forest fires because so much carbon dioxide is put off when there are forest fires, natural forest fires. And there are also environmental groups in mainstream news proposing cutting down trees. No, I'm not kidding. You can't make this up. Cutting down trees because trees also put off carbon dioxide. I mean, this is such a joke, but they mean it to be ridiculous and over the top, because if they can set the precedent for this, they can set the precedent for anything. But Gore pulls slide of disaster trends. Former President Al Gore, Vice President, is pulling a dramatic slide from his ever-evolving global warming presentation. When Mr. Gore addressed the packed cheering hall at the annual meeting of American Association for Advancement of Science in Chicago earlier this month, his climate slideshow contained a startling graph showing a ceiling-high spike of disasters in recent years. The data came from the Center for Research on the Epidemiology of Disasters at the Catholic University of Lothian in Brussels. The graph, which was added to his talk last year, just came after a sequence of images of people from Iowa to South Australia struggling with drought, wildfires, and flooding, and other weather-related calamities. Mr. Gore described the pattern as a manifestation of human-driven climate change, and he went on. But now they go on to say that now Mr. Gore is dropping the graph, his office of today. Here's why. 2 days after the talk, Mr. Gore was sharply criticized for using the data to make a point about global warming by Roger A. Pilker Jr. I want to get him on the show. A political scientist focused on disaster trends and climate policy at the University of Colorado, Mr. Pikel, noted that the Center for Research on Epidemiology of Disasters stressed in reports that a host of factors unrelated to climate caused the enormous rise in reported disasters. Yeah, like earthquakes and tsunamis. And the tsunami was caused by an underwater huge tectonic plate shift. Nothing to do with your SUVs, I assure you. That huge tectonic plate shift a few years ago that killed hundreds of thousands with tidal waves, tsunamis crashing across multiple countries, island nations, had as much to do with SUVs and coal-powered plants, as much to do with that as coal-powered plants have a connection to the polar ice caps of Mars receding or expanding. It's just unbelievable. This is the crowd, though, that says that polar bears can't swim and are drowning because the ice is melting, and they point a video camera at a glacier that every spring and summer collapses large portions of it and creates ice flows because throughout the winter months, rain and snow fall on the glaciers, piling up, and then it literally flows out, in some cases miles a year, towards the sea. I mean, that's how glaciers work. But they know the public is dumbed down and completely focused on issues of little or no significance, so they really believe that the polar bears can't swim and that glaciers aren't supposed to be expanding and contracting and going into the sea. There have always been icebergs, ladies and gentlemen. That's what happens when the Arctic and the Antarctic warm during the summer. Large pieces break off, and then it gets smaller in the summer and larger in the winter, but you can't tell the public that. They just want to be suckered and scammed and ripped off. They love it. Meanwhile, yesterday I saw a report that NASA was going to launch a rocket that was going to study CO2 levels and what was actually putting CO2 out. And, of course, it was going to show that the ocean is the main driver of that. Water's made up mainly of carbon dioxide. And they were going to show, that carbon dioxide was coming out of, humans, and it was coming, and it was part of the life cycle. And I remember saying to my wife, I bet that satellite malfunctions or blows up. Well, it did blow up. Didn't work too well. Somebody didn't want that going up. I mean, how many NASA rockets fail? It's a very low number. But this one, of course, failed. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. A satellite launched from California failed to reach orbit today, crashing into the sea near Antarctica and dooming a $273 million mission to study global warming gases. The mission is lost, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration spokesman Steve Cole said in a telephone interview from the launch site at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. The NASA satellite was to orbit 438 miles above the Earth and observe how carbon dioxide enters and leaves the atmosphere, helping scientists predict future increases in the main greenhouse gas blamed, notice they use legalese there, they don't say proven, for global warming. Instead, the satellite fell into the ocean near Antarctica through the mission manager said. At no point did the craft pass over land. Speaking of spacecraft falling back into the Earth, two Sundays ago, a gigantic piece of a satellite came in over Austin. CNN was videotaping was live out of their affiliate, News 8 Austin, at the Marathon downtown. And I was on the radio at the time, but I watched the video feed later, and it looked like something out of a science fiction movie. A giant fireball burning red and orange and blue comes in. It's huge. Normally you see a video of a meteor or something, and it's just a tiny streak. I mean, it looked like something out of a movie. Just this huge fireball comes in and then starts exploding at about 20,000 feet, explodes again at about 10,000, and then disappears into West Austin. And last time I heard, they never found the debris, though some have said a bunch of trees got blown down. What did local news do? Like Bob Cole and Bucky Godbolt show on one of the popular morning shows, they made jokes about me being a conspiracy theorist and that aliens were landing or something. I mean, that's how it works. I mean, a satellite comes in, blows up over Austin, looks like War of the Worlds or something, and then there's jokes about me. When I don't cover space aliens and chupacabras like Larry King does and the rest of them, I'm the guy pointing out that these aren't cigar-shaped UFOs. These are giant government blimps with four fins on them and surveillance and hanging off the bottom and on the sides of the craft. They keep showing on the news every week saying aliens are invading. Blisters of solar panels. I mean, it's the Homeland Security blimps. They admittedly launched in 2002, 2003. But the government won't admit what they are, so the media says they must be aliens. Meanwhile, I get the blame for that when I'm the one exposing real conspiracy theories. Now, another example that I mentioned earlier, I'm not going to spend much time on this. I'm going to try to get this guy on the show. Well, I'm not going to be mean to the hoaxer because we learned he's actually contacted us and admits that it was a hoax. But KRMG Morning News Blog out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, comes out and says that basically I launched a hoax and that I gave the hoax national attention and implies I promoted it as real when I'm the one that exposed that it was a hoax by going and buying a digital TV converter, the Magnavox same brand that went viral on YouTube last week, and we opened it up and showed that it did not have a camera and microphone, and we proved that it wasn't just that this individual, you know, had a different one than his had a camera, because it's the exact same circuitry from his video that's inside the one we bought, and there's no circuitry in there for the camera or the microphone. And so I get blamed for it. I'm the one that did the hoax. I'm the one who put out the disinformation. I'm the one who did this when I'm the one that exposed it. And then when a real piece of space junk blows up over Austin in spectacular fashion and rains down on West Austin, it's my fault. I mean, this is the type of baloney. And then they've written several big articles attacking me in the press about the gun confiscation drills in Arcadia, when that's what it is, shutting down the city, going door to door and asking if they can search their cupboards and houses. That's a gun confiscation drill. They admit it's, quote, going after an arms dealer.
Exotic and faraway places known to tourists for coral reefs and sandy beaches, but known to the business world as tax havens with strict bank secrecy and privacy laws, where U.S. companies could pay fewer taxes and help wealthy customers avoid taxes too. And guess who's turned up in a new government report about tax havens? 11 giant recipients of your bailout tax dollars. Together, they've collected more than $227 billion from Citigroup to Morgan Stanley. Even as they benefit from the tax money, they operate hundreds of subsidiaries in places widely known for helping people evade taxes. Although proponents say most business in tax havens is perfectly legal and legitimate, it's estimated that tax havens cost U.S. taxpayers $100 billion a year in lost revenue. The stakes are so high, this tax haven insider was put under witness protection after he exposed hundreds of tax dodgers and testified to Congress about his job.
Help any clients to keep his or her assets out of the reach of the tax man.
One favorite among the bailout companies, the Cayman Islands, where there's no income tax, no corporate tax, no capital gains tax. Goldman Sachs has 15 subsidiaries there, Bank of America 59, Citigroup 90, but Morgan Stanley beats them all with at least 158 subsidiaries in the Cayman Islands, seven times the number of hotels.
How hard is it for the U.S. government to get at what's going on in some of these tax havens?
It's incredibly hard.
Former congressional tax investigator Dean Zerbe says the Treasury Department should demand that bailed out banks cough up details of their offshore interests.
Here we are sending taxpayers money.
That's good.
You tell us, banks, what you're doing.
All right, you can watch the whole report. We have a link to it up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. Now, you hear those type reports, and it's like, ooh, the news is getting tough on these tax cheats. But it is the very brokerage firms and banks that make up the New World Order system in their own words. You can watch them during the Davos meeting they had a few weeks ago, just open talk of world government, now they're going to run everything. They have two sets of rules, one for the public, and then one for themselves. Look at Secretary of Treasury Geithner not paying taxes and being confronted with it years ago and saying, I'm not going to pay. Look at the majority of Congress not paying taxes. Just Google that. Majority of Congress doesn't pay taxes, and you can see the reports that come out every year. Because it's not enforced on themselves. And so what's happening is the big central banks have created over $1,000 trillion in derivatives. They bought up most of the real assets in the world. Now they want to rob the nouveau riche, the new wealth, and wealthy people that aren't on the inside with them. And I've looked at the UBS raids on tens of thousands of account holders. Now they want 54,000 more accounts in UBS alone with the Swiss banking system. And if you look at these accounts, you know, they'll be $1 million, $10 million. It sounds like a big number. But these are low-level people that put their money in the Swiss banks. The Swiss signed deals, what was it, 6 years ago with the UN to join the European Union and to get rid of their bank secrecy. And so that's why you see this happening. But the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, Portugal, the Cook Islands, Paraguay, the list goes on and on. That's where Luxembourg, that's where people like Vladimir Putin, he has his money. It's been reported in Luxembourg and a few other places in Europe. Those aren't being touched, and they're not going to be touched. So what you have is the elite doesn't like the fact that in the last decade or so, even people that only make a few hundred thousand dollars a year, in some cases even less, started using these tax shelters and these offshore banks because it became retail. Just, you know, Main Street tax attorneys began recommending this to people in huge services. And so the loophole laws were written where the big banks and brokerage firms are allowed under federal law. You know, that's like Halliburton owns Cayman Island subsidiaries that came out that were selling nuclear weapons components and oil field equipment to Iraq during the 14 years of sanctions and to Iran. You know, they even came out in mainstream news. And Halliburton said, well, this is completely legal because their lobbyists wrote the laws. And so they even got laws passed where the federal government would pay tax incentives to offshore industries, businesses, banks, to where they even got tax breaks to pay for the offshoring. And so now they're just introducing this to the public and saying, oh, look, your bailout money, hundreds of billions of it, went to offshore accounts. They're just keeping your money. Well, what do you think criminals are going to do? They're going to steal. This is what the upper crust of the establishment, basically a bunch of Bernard Madoffs, and then now more and more big Ponzi schemes are coming out, and people are discovering that every major bank out there is involved in scams, and pension funds are going down the drain. This has been planned by design. But they don't want you being able to get your money offshore, so they're clamping down selectively on the people. I'll finish up breaking down how this works when we get back, then get into headlines like this one from CNN. Pennsylvania rocked by jailing kids for cash scandal. They do that right here in Austin. Does anybody care? Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we are here live. And, hey, hardest working guy on radio. I come back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 2 to 4 Pacific. I ought to give it out in Greenwich Mean Time. I have a lot of global listeners out there. Frank, Matt, Eric, Steve, Randy, and many others. Your calls are coming up. And as soon as you hear me hang up on a caller or a caller say bye-bye, you can get in on the line. I want to hear from police, military, people in business, on the economy, the police state, everything. I want everybody to have a chance to get involved on air today. 1-800-259-9231. Okay, just in summation, then I'm going to your calls. You see, international laws were written. Nation states adopted national systems to comply with it, where the upper crust elites basically pay less than 1% corporate tax and themselves individually pay almost no tax. And then they take the public's money in all the taxes we pay, and most of that is fenced through into corporate welfare and corporate contracts and open a payment on interest on the debt to the central banks. This is how the game is played. This is how it works. Their business, their corporate business, is controlling governments and taxing you. And so for over 100 years, the big central banks have had offshore corporations and front corporations. But as tens of millions of people in the United States and even more worldwide began using these legal loopholes, the IRS and the Exchequer over in England and others began going after people selectively and selectively closing those loopholes and selectively prosecuting people. And so in the last 5 years or so, many Americans and many British, in fact, Britain is the fastest to be losing their population, have been leaving and moving to these tax havens, and that's panicking the establishment. And so the OECD, the Organization of Economic Cooperative Development, that's the name of the private corporation that was set up to launder all the money from the Reconstruction, the Marshall Plan that was done after World War II. They used a similar system in Japan to take over those countries. It wasn't rebuilding them for free. They're controlled by the central banks. The OECD has been saying in big reports that you can pull up and read, just Google OECD tax havens, tax avoidance havens, and they admit their main target is the retail offshore person, somebody who just sticks, you know, over a decade, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollars in these offshore tax havens, which is totally legal, but they don't care. Through legalese, they go after you. And so they'll have a CBS News piece like this one saying, oh, isn't it horrible? You know, hundreds of billions of dollars of the bailout money through the banks and brokerage firms went to these offshore tax havens, and the IRS can grandstand like little saviors and go, it's not fair. People are losing their health care, losing their jobs, losing their homes, and the bailout money went to offshore banks, and they're keeping it. We need to crack down on these. And it's the same thing. Remember a few weeks ago, Obama said, I am outraged. This is outrageous that we have these banks that are failing and they're keeping the money for big parties and executives and hundreds of billions in bonuses to their executives. And I'm putting a total cap on it of $500,000. And then you read the executive order. It says all of the big banks and the previous recipients are exempt from this, and in the future, it will be left to agency discretion, the Securities and Exchange Commission and others, who will be prosecuted under this, and then it doesn't even give any laws or regulations or force of law. It just says we'll make up whatever we want. You understand how that works? And so if you can get a position in government, if you can get a position in one of these big banks, if you can get a position in one of these big brokerage firms, you have a license to steal, to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. And there's example of this after example of this. This is an illegitimate government, just like Mexico is an illegitimate government, now in full collapse. Full collapse. How many years ago did we tell you that was already in play? And this is all by design. And I'm going to cover that more, but I want to get to your calls. And then I have all these stories. You know, some of them I've mentioned in the past, but now they're getting national attention. Pennsylvania rocked by jailing kids for cash. Millions of dollars per judge from private youth homes that get federal funds for the children. And it goes through the cases. And you can go, you know, each article is really a whitewash, but if you read 20 or 30 articles on this subject, and there's been that many the last 3 weeks since this broke, just in Pennsylvania alone, it's going on everywhere. And since the story came out, my hope has come true that people are now noticing it's happening in their towns. A lot of folks need to go to jail in Austin, Texas, folks. They're so criminal here, it's on record they're paying people off. And if you don't like it, a SWAT team will drop by. I mean, that's pretty much how it works. A girl put up a MySpace account making fun of her principal. No cuss words, no nothing. And she was given 6 months in a, quote, forest work camp. If you're late to class three times, they trigger truancy laws. The truancy law doesn't even say three late to classes is a absence, and one absence isn't truancy under any of these state laws. They don't care. You still go to jail. That's what I keep explaining to people. I've been at the juvenile court hearings, which is just a made-up fake court set up under the eugenicist in the U.S. 100 years ago, just like they have a court, their own court for vaccines, funded by the vaccine companies, just like Monsanto owns its own court on GMO. that'll rule that when they contaminate you, the Missouri court rules that you owe them money because they contaminated your field? They write the rules. And I have made films about this. I've done so many local TV shows about this. And no one's brought to justice. Nobody gets in trouble. I mean, here in Austin, you put your child in a public school, you're asking for it. They do one thing wrong. They raise their voice. The police write them a ticket for disturbing the peace. Then they call them before a judge. It's all legalese. They order the family to sign an agreement that the child's on probation, a contract, and the next time your child's late to class, they go to jail. And then federal and state money kicks in. And then if they can say your child's mentally ill and put them on Prozac or Ritalin, they go from getting $3,000 or $4,000 a month in these facilities to, in some cases, as much as $10,000 a month. And it is just, I mean, I've had listeners who've investigated this send me the different state agency filings online to show what these big foster care centers make, these private ones. And it'll show what the director of one of them makes, and it'll be hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, they live in palaces. They're driving Porsches. They have yachts. So, of course, they can pay a few mil to a judge. Now go back to how many past shows I told you they were doing this. Now it's in the news. Pennsylvania rocked by jailing kids for cash scandal. At a friend's sleepover more than a year ago, 14-year-old Philip Swartley pocketed change from unlocked vehicles in the neighborhood by buying chips and soft drinks. The cops caught him. There was no need for an attorney, said Philip's mother, Amy Swartley, who thought at most the judge would slap her son with a fine or community service. But she was shocked to find her eighth grade handcuffed and shackled in the courtroom and sentenced to a youth detention center. Then he was shipped to a boarding school for troubled teens for 9 months. Now, see, they give the whitewash ones here. You go read the local Pennsylvania articles, late to class three times, posting a joke about the principal under her free speech. Well, it's incredible. I covered that last week. Yes, my son made a mistake, but I don't think he was going to be taken away from me, said Swartley. Well, you put him in a prison camp, lady. That's meant to induct your child into institutions. A 41-year-old single mother raising two boys in Wilkes Barre, Pennsylvania. CNN does not usually identify minors accused of crimes, but Swartley and others agreed to name to bring public attention to the issue. As scandals from Wall Street to Washington, Royal Public Trust, the Justice Department system of Luzerne County in the heart of Pennsylvania's struggling coal country has also fallen prey to corruption. See, folks, the criminals to carry out crimes and bid rigging and stealing and double sets of books in every government agency has a comprehensive annual financial report that was set up by the mafia in the 20s in Chicago, nationally adopted in 1951, 1313 model, and then they have to recruit more criminals in to their system so that they're protected while they carry out crime. And then they can't really say no because they're compromised to the lower level criminals. So they all set up their own scams. And then society just collapses. And it goes on. The county has been rocked by a kickback scandal involving two elected judges who essentially jailed kids for cash. Many of the children had appeared before judges without a lawyer. Well, the courts aren't real. These family courts aren't constitutional. We didn't have them until about 1920s. The few areas had them earlier, and they were called racial hygiene courts. That's where the social services and the health department, it's all designed to kill you. See my film Endgame. I have the mainstream newsreel clips that they showed in movie theaters about how they were sterilizing people in 34 states. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The nonprofit Juvenile Law Center in Philadelphia said Philip is one of at least 5,000 children over the past 5 years who appeared before former Luzerne County Judge Mark Civarella. He's now pled guilty. And then it just goes into the story here about the private juvenile detention centers owned by Mid-Atlantic Youth Services Corps. They're still operating and are not a target of the federal investigation. Of course not. according to court documents. They're going to be left alone. And it goes through all the payoffs that were made. And then it just goes into the reason the kids were put in jail. But this CNN's a whitewash. Go read the local reports. Late to class three times, 6 months in a forest labor camp. Forest work camp. Oh, you said something on an internet site. No First Amendment. 6 months in jail. A year in jail. And then you read what happened to these kids. Some of them die in custody. Others come out totally mind blown. They hop them up. They're away from their parents. They're on Prozac, Ritalin. They start having seizures and they put them in a mental institution. Oh, then the cash really racks up. And after the kid's done, 18 years old, totally brain fried, shock therapy, they throw them out on the street. And that's the people you laugh at that have the sign saying, we'll work for food. Most of them aren't even winos. I've talked to them. They've been in mental institutions. And I go, tell me your story. When I was 12, I got in a fist fight, and they, you know, the guy's 32, looks like he's 60. I'll do a documentary on these guys. And I got in a fight at the back of the school, and then they put me in juvenile and started drugging me. I know I'm crazy. I deserve it. They shock me over and over again. And then, let me guess, when you were 18, they let you go. Yeah, I've been on the street since then. That's your sickening, degenerate government. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. The more drugs, the more shock therapy, the more torture, the more Thorazine. That's why 67% of U.S. foster children, you can Google that, are on more than one psychotropic drug. Because when they seize your child and then hop them up on drugs, the money just starts going ding, 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 ding. I mean, that cash register, cha-ching, 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 just goes off the charts and the cash rolls in. All right, that's enough. I said I'd go to your calls, and I'm going to take them all through this hour into the next, and then I'm going to get into, we have a state senator coming on who's talking about state sovereignty and putting troops on the border through the state of Texas. We've got another guest on this issue as well, Dr. Edwin Vieira. But I mentioned this yesterday. I didn't spend enough time on it. Sometime today I've got to get into it because I was called a conspiracy theorist. I was laughed at. I've been attacked everywhere for this, even though I had Australian lawmakers on. I had a federal congressman on. I had state reps on who discovered this. I remember hearing when I first got on talk radio 13 years ago that when they take blood from babies' heels at the hospital, it went into a UN database. Well, I decided to go down at that time to the microfiche at the UT library, one of the best in the country, and I pulled it all up and found out it was going into DNA testing, that they claim that they own your blood, they then patent your blood. There's now been federal cases where you go in, when you get cancer, they give to you in the vaccines, and you want your own DNA treatment, you find out, oh, a company's already patented your blood. That's why this is starting to come out. And you've got to pay them to be able to have this gene therapy. And they go, well, how'd you get my blood? Well, it's part of a research project. And that's finally in the news. But that's only one facet. They also now have your blood, large ampules of it, freeze-dried, to plant. And the FBI crime lab on record under Frederick Whitehurst admits it was industrialized fraud. They just frame everybody. The Houston crime lab has been caught, the Dallas crime lab, every major crime lab, and they have your blood. That's why they're trying to push national DNA databases now for people they didn't get in this system who aren't 36 or younger, 35 or younger. And then they bill it as, oh, we're freeing a lot of innocent people on death row because of DNA. And the police want to take your blood for misdemeanors at checkpoints now, for any, you know, basic misdemeanor, So they can take good care of you. Sure. Hey, cops, you're a good cop? Wonder how they're going to frame you? Well, they can place your fingerprints at the scene by having them. Everybody knows that. They can frame you with that blood. You know, I believe O.J. Simpson was probably guilty, but I'm not going to wade in on that debate. He was certainly covering something up. But the police did get caught planting the blood. Why? Because it has the MBTE blood preservative in it so it doesn't rot. And it also had the plastic chemicals in it from the tube. So, you know, that came out. The point is, this is to frame you. Now, that's not the biggest problem. You've heard about this human genome project that's at the Cold Springs Harbor. That's where the eugenics records office is. It's the same building. IBM runs that, founded to carry out eugenics. It's a trust to carry out eugenics. Big supporters of Hitler. They had the Hollerith machines for IBM used by Hitler to decide who to kill and who not to kill, with their date of birth or weight and all the rest of it. Well, now they have with the National Geographic, who I'm sure is not aware of, even though they're eugenicists, a lot of them. It was founded by eugenicists. To go around the world, quote, testing your roots, getting you to donate your blood to find out who's related to who. That's being done because with the race-specific bioweapons, they found were all related. So they're trying to isolate subtypes so they can more orderly kill 99% of the population. Stay with us.
I was sitting in traffic, listening to the radio. George Strait was singing, Seashores of Old Mexico.
The State Department has issued another warning saying Mexico is the most dangerous place in the world. But parents still let their high school seniors and college students that they're paying for, people say, well, they're college kids, well, you're paying for their education, go to Mexico so they can be robbed and shot up. And Mexico is collapsing. That's coming up. But right now, let's go to your calls. Frank in New York, welcome.
Good afternoon, Alex. I just wanted to make a couple comments, and I thought your analysis was very interesting. It's always for the bankers, the tax avoidance versus tax evasion. And when you have a corrupt government that has a very complex and burdensome tax code, as the United States has,
quarter million pages.
Whoever has the best legal counsel and the biggest assets usually can get away with the tax avoidance, yet the small individual with a simple mistake, you know, gets nailed for tax evasion. It's always the way it seems, at least in the United States. And the very wealthy families from the beginning, such as the Rockefellers, the Fords, the DuPonts, before the income tax law was set up, they were able, through their attorneys, to set up tax-exempt foundations and trusts that prevented them from having to pay their burden, that they should have paid.
Yeah, it's only for the idiot public, in their words, to pay.
Absolutely. And what I wanted to say, too, all of this talk about the carbon tax, I find really dangerous and kind of ridiculous. I think what we should
Well, sir, it's not talk.
I know.
Obama has announced yesterday they are implementing it.
Yes, but here's what should happen. I think the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, the Rothschilds, the Nobels, the royal family in England, the Dutch royal family with Dutch Shell, the descendants of Armand Hammer, including Al Gore, who's one of the biggest shareholders in Occidental Petroleum, these companies over the last 200 to the last 70 years have raped the world, caused these problems, and they've been able to profit handsomely by that. Before we talk about enforcing a global carbon tax on the population, it's time to tax those who rape the planet, and when their assets are diminished, then maybe we can discuss taxing the general population.
Well, I agree with you.
I think that's what has to be done.
You know, Al Gore is the majority shareholder. He's one of the directors of Occidental Petroleum, and he actually owns a company also involved chopping down rainforests. But see, that's the cover. That's like when Prescott Bush, it came out, was the top Nazi agent in the U.S. He hurriedly founded the group that goes out and, you know, has Hollywood people and musicians, the USO, to the military because, oh, it's impossible that the top Nazi is, you know, bringing us all this entertainment. And so exactly, one of the major carbon trading companies is owned by Al Gore. He is the principal in that, and you will pay your carbon taxes to Al Gore. It's very, very funny to him. And instead of people worrying about all the real environmental crises and serious problems there are, We'll sit there and let these guys rip us off. But the public likes to be schmucks. That's why they're going to lose their houses and everything else they've got.
Hopefully that's the case. But I think right now what's interesting, Alex, is people are losing their jobs and they have no income to pay
The bankers are ruthless. They will give us no quarter. And the public still says, hurt me more, hurt me. I love to be a schmuck. Please hurt me.
Well, hopefully as the people lose their assets, their savings, they'll wise up very quickly. And I think they will want their pound of flesh when they realize...
I hear you, Frank. I hear you, and I appreciate your call. Yeah, a lot of people are actually waking up, but others still cozy up to the government and the media and go, oh, Obama's helping me. Oh, everything's fine. I'm going to trust the government. It's so good. All right, we'll be right back in 70 seconds with more of your calls. Stay with me.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we just had a great caller earlier, but I want to attempt to take a call every 2 minutes or so I can get a lot of people in. We have Dr. Edwin Vieira coming up to get into the state's rights rebellion against tyranny. We also have a state senator from Texas making national headlines about putting Texas Guard and state police on the border because the feds won't do it. That is coming up. But right now, let's go to Matt in Canada. Matt, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. Good day.
Hello. Good day to you, my friend.
I was just wondering, I heard you talking before in a lot of previous episodes that a lot of your films aren't actually getting through to Canada through the mail. I was wondering if this was going to be the same thing with Obama deception.
Well, I talked to my shipping guys, and they explained to me 2 days ago that it isn't as bad as it used to be. Before, half the time, they would tear up the package, break the tape, send it back. We would even mail them as bulk groups in to customs, and then they would inspect the main bulk, and then it would go out from UPS, and then they would still send those back. But we told UPS that if they didn't pressure Canada and didn't fix it, and we even tried some other companies, that we weren't going to do it anymore. And I'm told that now about 95% are making it into Canada. So things have suddenly gotten a lot better in the last 6 months. So I was brought up to speed on that. But still, Canada is the hardest place in the world to get our videos into.
Also,
a lot of it is we've changed the name on the package. Okay. That we ship out on, so that may be helping.
Yeah, definitely. I was also wondering, have you ever heard of iDoser? It's a music?
No.
Basically, I thought it would be a really great medium for waking people up. What it is it's basically just random tones played, and basically it gives you the effect of either like a mild antidepressant, a strong antidepressant, or even painkillers and other things like that.
Yeah, I've read about the power of music to either heighten mental awareness or lower it, and so I am aware of that. Yes, I am aware of the power of sound.
Well, any of your listeners who have family members who really are sort of still skeptical about the power of media control and mind control and anything like that, I highly recommend them to check out the iDoser, because some of them are only five-minute-long songs, and you can really, a song with random tones will just start to make you laugh and giggle. Because that's what it's meant to do.
I'll tell you what, John, go pull an iDoser up off of YouTube, and we'll play one later. Thank you, Matt. Eric in Texas, you're on the air.
How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
All right, I just had a quick question for you. I don't know if you've heard about this yet. I'm a police officer here in Texas, okay? House Resolution 748, the Campus Safety Act of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what it entails... is basically the federal takeover of all the campus police agencies in the United States.
Yes, it federalizes all of the colleges. That's what Homeland Security is going to do. Under this FEMA camp bill, they've already built the FEMA camps, it makes the local police go under its control. This is, sir, PDD 51, all of them, John Warner Defense Authorization Act, everything's being federalized, and then you will be a federal officer under their control, and then they're going to fire most of the police. I'm not trying to scare cops. This is the truth. And bring in mercenaries. They're going to then give it to their own private companies they own and then even pay them more. So a lot of you will be able to get jobs, but you're just going to be working for them now.
Yeah, that's kind of the concern that a lot of us are having right now. I've talked with some of our TAC guys. I'm one of the firearm instructors in our department. So we've been talking about this a lot. And with Obama's new million-man I don't know what he's going to call it, his Gestapo or whatever.
Oh, no, the Pentagon has signed the order. It is called a Auxiliary Civilian Force, 1 million.
It seems as though, at least to us, that this is a replacement force for your local police.
Oh, no, they've announced, sir, they've already done this in the third world. That you're all, but don't worry, you're going to, if you lick boots properly, you'll get a job for private, stay there, officer, I want to talk more to you, okay, Eric, can you stay there?
Sure will.
Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Folks, this is a plan, okay, it isn't privatization, think piracy, they're hijacking everything. They're taking over all the local governments, the campuses, the schools, the medical, it's all being federalized, don't have to believe me. They just federalized the medical system. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Let me just briefly explain what happened, then we'll go back to Eric in Texas, a peace officer, firearms instructor. I guess armorer would be the term properly used. Give him the Greek name Festus, the armorer for Vulcan. But that's a little bit of the old system. Look, this is how it works. Okay, the bankers took over in 1913, then the mafia set up a system the bankers liked where they took over Chicago and Illinois, this is all on record, and they learned to take about 65%, now it's more than 80% and growing, of all the county, city, water district, school district money, and they have a double set of books. They talk about the budget and put the pensions on the budget and all of that, and then they invest. I mean, here in Austin, almost all of the bond proposals they pass never get spent on that. You can look back at stuff bonds passed 30 years ago where the money just disappeared. I mean, it's just organized crime, folks. It's so huge, people have trouble believing it because it's so massive. And we talk about it, and it's kind of like J. Edgar Hoover said, it's a conspiracy theory before Congress. La Cosa Nostra, the mafia doesn't exist. Well, they've been telling you the New World Order doesn't exist. I mean, they talk to us like we're idiots. And so they've been privatizing, and to sucker police in, about 15 years ago, they started paying $180,000 for police officers. But it was very selective, and it was elite, and you know they know how to make it oh so cool, like, oh, Hollywood people are getting microchips for their kids, then everybody wants it. Same thing with police. Oh, you get $180,000 if you go join some of these mercenary groups and go overseas. Well, then, you know, now they've got it down to about $40,000-$50,000. And they cheat them and don't even pay them. Now that they've got everybody ready to do this, now that everybody's accepted it, now that the peace officer associations and lobbies and unions didn't challenge it, now they're fully imploding it, and they've got Blackwater on in California raiding medical marijuana dispensaries. They have got them involved. You'll hear about fugitive manhunts with Blackwater involved and all these private prisons and private youth halls holding the kids and paying off judges to put them in jail for no reason. And notice that Obama announced, and I'm going to the caller, that in this banker takeover bill and then now in the stimulus, $19 billion to federalize all healthcare regulations, a federal board, all healthcare records are, without a warrant or anything, are instantly uploaded through the computers by law. And then we pay for it in the taxes and then pay for it again in healthcare going up for the cost of these systems. All of that is uploaded to the feds. And they're federalizing the states. They're federalizing police. They're building federal emergency management, threat integration, fusion centers, and multi-county areas. And then they go, oh, we've got free office space for your police. We've got free office space. Oh, we're going to deputize you as a federal officer. And then, oh, the National Guard's going to be here now. And, oh, the Army's going to be here now. And, oh, the Marines are here to help you run checkpoints. So this is martial law takeover in slow motion. And, yes, this bill, moving its way along through the federal Congress, openly federalizes all of the colleges in the country and then takes control of the colleges peace officers who had before been chartered under the state. And so now I go back to Eric, a police officer. Eric, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Let me throw this out at you, too. You were asking about drills and things like that. Now, any peace officer in Texas is going to be able to recognize this because it's mandatory training that we've been having to undergo for about the past 2 years. It's the National Incident Management System, which is basically put out, I guess, from Homeland Security after the whole 9/11 deal. Basically what it is, it teaches every police officer in the state, and I'm sure it's probably nationwide, too, that when the guys with the gold badges, meaning the FBI or whoever, show up, those are now our new bosses, okay, in any kind of emergency situation, anything like that. Well, being one of the instructors in our department, I was told here about 3 months ago by my lieutenant to expect to begin making returns on all this federal money that our department has been getting, okay? And I'm asking him, now, what do you mean by this? His issue was that since we've been taking money from the federal government, they're now starting to expect drills to be run that they have already pre-organized. Mm-hmm. They've already preset what kind of drills that these are going to be and start running them in the community that we serve.
Yes, and that'll be lockdown drills. You've seen the city of Austin now. There's a shooting. Even after the shooters have been caught, they'll lock down a large area of Austin and tell people stay in their homes, and the officers are compartmentalized, but that's federal funding. But I don't want officers to not believe me here, because this is so insane, and most departments haven't done this yet, but it's going on in every major state. For at least a decade, they pull up at the schools unannounced, they load elementary students with their hands up on buses and take them to a local FEMA center, training the children with learned helplessness. In other cases, they'll blow up a car in the parking lot, scare the middle school students, and this was in the Associated Press in Michigan, and I've seen it in other states. You can go pull it up. This is word for word. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what the article said, word for word, that they brought out the middle schoolers in the parking lot, they set off smoke grenades in the bus, and they had police dressed up in camo run up and scream, "We're going to kill you," and throw fake blood on them, terrorizing the students, this is on record, and saying, "We are from the Homeschoolers Against Public Education group," and then they aim guns at the children until they cry, and then literally crap themselves, was in the story. Now, I had another lady on from Minneapolis a few years ago with her lawyer. This was in the Minneapolis, St. Paul newspaper, The Star. It said in there that they went in the portable buildings unannounced, the SWAT team under a federally funded drill, said, "We're terrorists, put your hands up," and they walked the teacher and the students out and said, "We're going to execute you, prepare to die." And a bunch of the kids defecated, urinated. The woman had a mental break, had to be hospitalized. Some of the other teachers had to be hospitalized. And so, see, this is
criminal.
It's the same thing they do, but don't believe me. Pull up the articles. Please, I want people to know this is real. I know it sounds insane. But, see, they started them before that with, we're just going to have a drill when no kids are there taking over the school. And then, we're going to do it while the kids are there. And then we're going to do it like this. And I have film of this going on in places like Belton with Army there telling us to turn our cameras off. So if you study Soviet re-education camps, they would do this in a sports stadium, beat up certain people, scare folks, have scary movies playing. The best example is in the movie Red Dawn. It's fictitious, but that's exactly how they run. And it's meant to freak everybody out, break them down, make people go crazy, but also brainwash the cops and to identify which departments will do this type of insane stuff. Go ahead.
Well, let me throw this out, and I know you've got a tight schedule with callers. I just want to throw this out to all my fellow peace officers here in Texas. You guys had better wake up and remember the oath that you took when you put that badge on to uphold the Constitution of the United States and that of Texas as well. Because when it comes down to it, they're not going to show any more mercy on us than they're going to show anybody else.
Well, let me say this, officer, and we've got time for it, because I'm going to get to Eric and Stephen, Randy and others, but it's important when police and military call in. Look at history. Every time tyranny comes to your door, it's in a uniform. We're not saying that people that want to be police officers are bad. We're saying corrupt governments use police to carry out their criminal aims, and they are federalizing the police publicly. And what is the federal government? It's openly a pack of criminals announcing world government and a new super bank in Time Magazine and Newsweek and the Wall Street Journal that is going to rule America. I mean, there's no more time for denial is what I'm saying. This is now in our face.
I agree, absolutely. Alex, I appreciate what you do. Just to give you a little idea of what's going on, we're slowly getting the word out through your videos, at least through our department. There's a group of us that are doing this. And I'm hoping it's taking place in other departments across this country.
What percentage of your department do you think are waking up?
It's very small right now. Very small. Because it's one of those things, I don't know, when you're a police officer, you get in wrong with the administration, and it's your butt on the line. You know, Jack McLam, you know, he had a lot of wisdom in what he was saying, becoming the most fired officer in the history of his department, and that can easily happen. The police chiefs in our country, they are sold out. I can tell you that right now. They are sold out. Now, I say that, big city police chiefs and medium-sized departments, absolutely. But the small-town police chiefs, I don't know.
Why do you think the Austin police chief keeps cozying up to me?
It's a good question. I was actually in a training seminar that he was one of the speakers in. Seemed like a totally likable guy, you know. I guess, but he came from California. I think he came from the California Highway Patrol before
he
came to Austin. So he's got a very different idea of policing than what I would consider Texas type of policing. And
Now, once they have the precedent set to make you go to all these federal training things, you know, we've had other emergency managers on and played tapes of interviews with them, where then it turns into mass graves and we've got to fight the American people and we're getting ready for martial law. And that's why when you talk to even National Guard people who are compartmentalized, and they go, we're just going door to door asking to search people's houses. It's just for Afghanistan. But then you hear the commander go, we need to convince the public to trust us, and we're here to learn the local area. This is for America, folks.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I don't know. I know a lot of military guys. I've trained with a lot of military guys through our tactics programs and things like that. One of the big things is the incorporation of military trainers into police training, especially in the area of tactics, firearms, and things like that. And there's some concern amongst police officer trainers that is really undermining the sovereignty, the local sovereignty of the community that we serve. When you have military trainers teaching military tactics, military-style rules of engagement, it absolutely undermines the local control of their police.
That's right. Call us back again, officer. Good to hear from you. The military kills people and breaks things. Peace officers defend the community. Steve, in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, first of all, I'm a .TV member and just got my team Tyranny Response T-shirt, and I love all that stuff, the bumper stickers that came with it. Thank you.
Thank you for the support, sir.
Well, I really want to touch on something that I think is really serious and bring it back to the forefront, something that you brought up yesterday. I was actually on hold pacing back and forth trying to bring it up, and then you sure enough brought it up about Glenn Beck and others. And what I'll say is, you know, everybody remembers how faker politicians like Huckabee and others will pretend to stand for things, you know, by mimicking certain rhetoric directly from the mouths of other well-meaning and well-respected leaders. Like,
oh,
Ron
yeah,
Paul.
Beck says, I woke up. And then his answer is, we've got to attack Iran and arrest Ron Paul supporters. But then he supports Ron Paul.
Yeah, I think it's really dangerous, though, because it really just puts everybody's brain into a blender.
Well, notice he first came on Fox a month ago, hardcore, sounded like it was Alex Jones, and already he's gone into New World Order. He gets your confidence. Bill O'Reilly, I used to watch Bill O'Reilly like 10 years ago on Fox. It was the Illuminati, the New World Order. He only did it for about a year.
Well, I have a quick comment about it. I mean, just to bring it to the forefront, because I've been studying him since he went to Fox the last month. And, you know, although they're all paid actor idiots and, you know, I think Glenn Beck and other news characters are studying you, like you said, and like these top, radio broadcasters are telling you it's your time has come. You know, I've watched you over the years, over the last 10 years, kind of walk through hell and back and really take on this responsibility now where you know how to disseminate this information, and people are looking for this information. And so you've got a guy like him that spins off their own version of the truth.
Let me be specific. Beck has our guest, our very guest, on within 2 days of us having him on. I've talked to folks at Fox News. They are listening. They are watching us. I've talked to CNN, and I'm not tooting my horn. It's actually kind of a scary responsibility. But, yes, their eyes are all on what we're doing, and we should ask, why is that? Because we're on target.
Well, that's the thing. We're completely on target. I'm trying to give power to all of your listeners in the sense that this is the time in history where we're at the front of the movement, and if they're going to pay a guy like, I mean, I'm tooting your horn because it is Rupert Murdoch, government TV, paying him to spin his own version of the truth and spew it at the sheep in order for the networks to seem empathetic enough so that people will keep tuning in.
Well, sir, I know this happened. I've been approached by probably 10 different TV networks, and they'll have vice presidents, heads of programming, who want to put it on. They know that's where the audience is, and then people in the ownership level, even above management, will say no.
Well, let me bring it to a crux for you, because this is what I think it is. If Fox has for years been following orders and beating the drums of war for a conflict with Iran, and now with the assaults by Israel, it looks like that may be on the horizon. So if they now have faker puppet news frontmen like Beck painting these, you know, crazy real scenarios on Fox, like the Bubba effect, alongside guests that are retired CIA and military paid TV pundits, is that not an imminent sign of times to come in the very, very near future,
yes,
as you speak of every day? If
yes,
we don't stand against this tyranny right now, they're showing us what they're going to do.
Well, that's what Michael Savage does. He says, I'm fighting the New World Order, and the New World Order is Iran and Iraq, and they really do have WMDs, and now they're saying Iran has WMDs. And I'm no fan of a lot of stuff Iran does, but the point is the IAEA is there. This is non-weapons grade what they're making. And Israel admitted in Israeli papers last week, we read it on air out of the papers, that they're staging assassinations and bombings to try to destabilize Iran. That's an act of war.
Simple to understand. It's any nations that aren't along with their order, that have resources and people that are in their way, they're going to move on them.
Yeah, that's it. And, it's scary, folks. And by scary, I mean the responsibility to I've rationalized, I've told myself I'm not that big, I've told myself the show isn't that big. You know, I think of the planet as tiny, as life short, I'm not on a power trip, it's the opposite. And I try to minimize it being about Alex Jones and this show and about being you, the listeners, because that is where the power is. But more and more, I mean, the executives that call me and the people I talk to and the things I've heard and seen,
they're trying to scramble our brains by putting a guy like Glenn Beck in our face and making us think, of course not your listeners, that he's talking anything near the truth when it's all talking points, that they want us to believe certain aspects of their compartmentalized issues that they'll feed us. People need to really stand up against it and make a big issue about it, because he's only been there for a month.
I hear you. I appreciate your call. You know, I've been watching a lot more television lately to analyze things. And it's clear the door, as Webster Tarpley said, to false flag stage terror is open. They need that because their agenda is already stalling. They may not have staged more terror if they could get their agenda through without doing it. And just financial terrorism, give us all the power or the banks will close. But I do think they're going to stage a big terror attack. And it does look like Benjamin Netanyahu is planning to attack Iran. And just God help us, because this is going to hurt everybody in Iran, in Israel, in the United States. This is good for nobody. We are continuing with Open Phones. Dr. Edwin Vieira, top constitutional law scholar, won several times at the Supreme Court level, will be joining us to talk about the massive states' rights movement exploding, countering the globalist takeover through the federal government of the states, and how not just the states, but the counties, the cities, are also taking action. So that's coming up. Also, I want to play later the trailer. We're live at prisonplanet.tv, but also the audio for radio listeners, of the new G.I. Joe movie, The Rise of Cobra. Because you talk about Pentagon brainwashing. All of it is Pentagon brainwashing, so we'll go over that. You're going to be this superhuman in a nanotech bodysuit jumping over buildings if you join the U.S. Army. No, they're going to shoot you up full of deadly vaccines and cheat you out of any of your health care and treat you like absolute filth and rob your charities. And that was all in the news yesterday, and not pay you the bonuses they promise. I mean, this is not our military anymore, folks. And there's a lot of good men and women in the military, so people continue to support it. But you support them by having them come home and defend the Republic. Before I go to Magnus and Walker and many others that are patiently holding, Walker's calling from China. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231. Also, Rod in Illinois and others. I want to remind listeners that the Obama deception is basically done. I'm just mastering the audio and adding the music and smoothing it, sweetening it a bit. And then it will go off to be manufactured next week. That'll take about a week, and then we'll be here in the office, and they ship out on March 15th. You can order the Obama deception at Infowars.com. And those that order, pre-order, will be the first that get it, because we're going to ship the orders out, package the orders out, and ship them out in the order that they are received. So be first to get the Obama deception, powerful new film that is nearing completion. We're going to have some sneak peeks in the next week that are going to be released, sections of the film and things on the web. But right now, let's go ahead and let you hear the trailer for the Obama deception.
On March 15th, a carefully crafted corporate fraud will be exposed, and a vicious hoax will be revealed to the people of the world.
Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here to save the planet Earth. We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set.
Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong. Yes, we can.
Obama's healthcare plan will include coverage of all essential medical services.
Yes, we can.
Obama is a cruel hoax. He works for Wall Street. He's an agent of finance capital.
Where did you come up with the number $700 billion? Here's the Treasury spokeswoman's quote. It's not based on any particular data point. We just really wanted to come up with a really big number.
To Democrats and Republicans who've opposed this plan, I say, step up to the plate.
A few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no.
Secretary Henry Paulson is no George Washington.
I don't think anyone questions, Mr. Kashkari, that you're working hard. Our question is who you're working for.
Obama pledged that he would resume the security and prosperity partnership talks between Mexico and Canada that President Bush initiated.
The old boss is starting to look a lot like the new boss.
Robert Gates is going to remain on the job as defense secretary for at least a year.
Plenty of sources knew about this meeting, told us and others that it was at Hillary Clinton's house, but clearly it wasn't.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
We see you causing a depression so you can blow out the economy and consolidate it and bankrupt it. We know that you are enemies of free humanity, and we are here standing against your tyranny.
The Obama deception on March 15th. The people strike back.
InfoWar, and the film is coming to the InfoWar March 15th for PrisonPlanet.tv members in super high quality. I want you to burn it to disc or DVD. Give it out to everybody you know. And the highest quality will be on the DVDs. And everybody needs to have one of the DVDs in their library. And please buy DVD burners, buy blank DVDs, and go absolutely crazy with these on the streets, because they're riding their whole agenda through on the back of their juggernaut, Barack Obama, and the juggernaut is already slowing. So InfoWars.com, or toll-free number to call and order the film, The Obama Deception. We're talking less than 20 days now until this ships out, so get your orders in now, folks. That'll go by in the blink of an eye. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, or InfoWars.com, or see it at PrisonPlanet.tv. You can, of course, also write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. And it's 1995 for the right at 100-minute film, plus several extras that are very important. They're actually parts of the film. We just want the film to be shorter, so it's heavily produced, good extras. And you can get them as low as $9.95 when you order, or even lower than that when you order the film in bulk at theobamadeception.net or infowars.com. Okay, let's go back to your calls. Rod in Illinois, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, Rob.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, Alex, I just want to thank you for everything you do. Been a long-time supporter. And I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my affiliates at the Codeine University, K-O-D-E-I-N-E, university.blogspot.com. Just my own little personal thing to try and help the movement.
Good.
But I wanted to call today and talk to you about the nationalization of banks that I've been hearing about all over CNN.
Yeah, it's not really national. It's not really nationalization. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm not certain specifically. That's why I was actually hoping to get some more input from you. But what I was wondering is usually when I hear the word nationalization, I'm thinking of governments taking over private industries, and that's usually the issue. But with this, it almost seems like they're going to try and use it as a reverse usurp of the government, where the banking cartels will actually basically inject themselves into our government. And I was just wondering what your thoughts on that were.
Well, I'm going to play a clip coming up in the next segment, I'm glad you reminded me, where the Federal Reserve Security Force, which are private police officers, but accredited police officers, mercenaries, the lady walks over to a guy on the sidewalk, not even on their property, and I've stood right there in D.C. and shot footage myself, and she walks over, but that was on a weekend, so they didn't come out. And they tell a large news outlet that does a lot of work online, turn your camera off. And the guy says, well, I'm allowed to. And of course, he doesn't ask what the law is. And Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism, the same goons come over and say, you can't videotape. And everywhere I went in D.C., everywhere I went, you would try to film the White House. They'd come over and say, you can't film the White House. And I would be on the sidewalk. And I'd say, excuse me, this is America. And they'd say, you can't. And I would go to the Washington Monument. And they'd say, you can't film it. And I'd say, yes, I can, First Amendment. They go, you got to get a permit. And I said, you know what? We checked, because we're here with an independent film channel crew. They checked because they want to follow the rules. The permits are not issued unless you're inside buildings. And I said, and they would start getting threatening. We even have footage of this. I ought to put it out on the web. And I'd say, you know what? If you falsely arrest me, I'm going to be forced to sue you. Now, this is America. You got cameras surveilling us everywhere. And it didn't matter if I was out on the street filming the Supreme Court. It didn't matter if I was out on the street filming the Library of Congress. It didn't matter what building I was filming. It didn't matter if we were at the Arlington Cemetery on the side of the road, they'd come over and say, stop. And these are thugs. This is a sick joke. And, I mean, this is worse than Mexico City. They don't stop you from filming in Mexico City. There is no law. And here you have this private Federal Reserve cop saying, we're a Federal Reserve. We're the federal government. You can't film the federal government. It's the law. There is no law. And that's the whole
thing. They've become the federal government. I thought they were a private insurance company. Or is that?
Well, they have never been part of the federal government since they took over in 1913 and they ordered the Treasury around. But in the banker bailout bill, they were given above government power, above Congress. No agency, no police group can even start an investigation of them. That's the subsection. And so when you hear privatization, when you hear U.S. taxpayer money is going to buy 40% positions in Citibank and in other mega banks, right, and then there's no oversight, that just means they're giving them your money. Forget the banks just issuing currency and then getting interest on it. They are now saying that they will fully rule us, and so it's not privatization. It is a hijacking. It is a pirate gang. It is a takeover. It is color of law. It is openly the District of Columbia private corporation set up after the Civil War, fully being taken over in a corporate takeover of what's left of the government. And so The federal government's taken over by private banks. That's why they're federalizing the states, because that's not even federalization. That's private mercenary takeover of everything. And so, yes, this is not a privatization. This is the Federal Reserve openly becoming government, because it is going to be the regional governorship of the world government, according to every major news report. Again, Wall Street Journal, Financial Times of London, AP, Agency French Press, Reuters, Time Magazine, Wall Street, it's all out there. I've been reading them on air. A, quote, bank of the world that will control every government of the world, control the currencies, control the interest rates selectively. They'll play that off against nations to further consolidate power and vertically integrate. And the United States will be ruled through the regional governorship of the Federal Reserve. And so this is absolute, total mass crime takeover in front of everyone with the nice, pretty pitch man, Barack Obama.
Right, pitching. So the usurping's already been taking place. They're just actually flexing the muscle now, is what you're saying.
Well, they're going completely public with it.
Right, they've already done. They have the control. It's just now they're letting everybody know, hey.
Yes, but now that's why they've had former and current Fed governors who've even been cut out of the loop at the regional banks telling Bloomberg and AP, quote, war powers have been declared. We're not even part of it now. This is full, total foreign domination, just like the banks dominate third world countries. This is full, complete occupation by a paramilitary force openly owned by private banks.
Good grief.
Alex,
I know you're a busy man, so I'm going to let you go here. I just wanted to say thank you again, and again, shout out codeineuniversity.blogspot.com. And
all right, bro.
Check out the Kid Rock Warrior video. It's up there with the Three Door Down video. I think you'll find
it. Oh, yeah, Kid Rock. Yeah, pull up Kid Rock Warrior video.
Look for Kid Rock's Kid Rock Warrior, the real National Guard. That's a video that I produced myself. I've got some new imagery in there for everybody.
All right, appreciate it, man.
Thanks a lot.
I got to move on here. Let's talk to Magnus in California.
Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, hi, Alex. I have a two-part complex kind of question for you, but before I ask it, I just wanted to say thank you for everything you've done. You're a real American, a real patriot, and I thank you for everything you've done.
Well, thank you, sir, but I'm just trying to survive and have liberty. I have no future if we don't beat these people, neither do you. So I'm not doing anything that's not my duty and not sane. It is sane to not let criminal eugenics-obsessed bankers fully rule us.
Absolutely.
It is the only course.
My question for you, it's a two-part little thing, but I just wanted to, I was wondering if you were A, familiar with or had any desire to do any work with Milton Cooper, the guy that was killed in Arizona, and he had a radio show called Hour of the Time, and he dealt with a lot of the patriot issues that you deal with, but he also dealt with, like, UFO-type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious kind of what your thoughts were on him, and also I wanted to know what role, if any, should UFOs play in the patriot movement? And that's kind of my question. Your thoughts on Cooper.
I appreciate the call. Let me briefly try to answer that. All I deal with is what I can prove. And from declassified and leaked government documents and talking to Dr. Bob Bowman, the former head of Star Wars, also another incarnation, Colonel Bob Bowman, he can only tell me what had been leaked by accident. And I went and checked what he told me back during the 9/11 symposium in L.A. when we had a lunch privately for an hour, because I was really prying him for, you know, anything he could tell me that didn't violate national security letters he'd sign. And he told me what I already knew. By the late 70s, they had over 100 drone robot aircraft, space planes. I mean, all the technologies around having a human survive in these. Well, it's very easy to launch them without that. That have DU solid round meteor gun weapons. They fire the 100 pound or larger, and they carry a lot of these depleted uranium with an incredible mass. It goes through the gravity well and accelerates to over 30,000 miles an hour and is the equivalent of a medium-sized nuclear weapon. It will destroy underground bases a mile under. And you can't build bases a mile under anyways because there's too much pressure. You know, the heat goes up to over 130 degrees. So the deepest bases, you know, can only be about a half mile down generally. They have some supposedly deeper that are especially air-conditioned, but that's a side issue. And this is a decapitation weapon to be able to take over the whole planet basically instantly, where they can just kill the leadership of the world if they want in a matter of minutes. In the 70s, they had the decapitation drones orbiting the planet, and they've got big platforms, most of the space program's secret, and they've got this up there. So I talk about things like that. I'm not the grand poobah. I don't decide what has a place. I don't decide what can be discussed. I don't tell people what they should talk about. I don't get into little green men and all the rest of this. I'm not saying some of that isn't going on. I don't know. I can't get folks to admit they're building FEMA camps and gun confiscation drills when it's in the mainstream news. On the subject of Bill Cooper, I woke up, you know, from more of the John Birch Society type angle and reading history books. And I literally hadn't read Behold a Pale Horse till like 96, 97, and I couldn't get through it because it was all about submarine flying saucers and, you know, all this stuff. And I just thought that was kooky. I was more like a mainline Ron Paul type guy. And then Mr. Cooper was in trouble with the IRS. He put out a call for help. I tried to get him help. He was very, very argumentative and angry when I even had him on the phone, as he was to everybody else. And then he kept using profanity. I was having to delay him out on the radio. And then I let him go early on the show. People go, well, we heard that show. We don't hear the cussing because I delayed it out, folks. The station had a great delay, 15 second. And, you know, then the network put me on at night, and he freaked out and thought that I was going up against him and started saying that I wore, this is a quote, ruby nipple rings. I mean, I'm not kidding. The lies were just so vicious and so horrible. And then even when they killed him, I said it was terrible and looked like a setup. And, you know, and I've tried to say nice things about him, even though he did all those horrible things to me. And then people demand that I come into it and you know, get into it. And they're the ones that won't let the dead rest or, you know, use his material for whatever they want. So I'm not going to get into a fight or anything with Bill Cooper. I mean, you know, anybody that knew him just knew he was just out of his mind. I mean, screaming, cussing at people, just constantly. You know, this is not a sporting event, this radio show. This is not a play or entertainment. This is about saving the Republic. This is about getting people to wake up and say no to the globalists. I mean, I saw 5 news articles this morning about more poison food from China, more poison food in the U.S., lead, mercury, you know, more than half of the corn syrup products have high levels of mercury made here in the U.S. There's no reason that should be there. It's not in the manufacturing process. I mean, we're dying. This is eugenics. This is being done on purpose. I got more mainstream articles yesterday where they admit that millions and millions of ampules of factor VIII were shipped out to hemophiliacs and others that had HIV and hepatitis in every shot that killed them, deader than a hammer, and others are still dying. I mean, this is insane. And meanwhile, people are all, what about this patriot? What about that patriot? Well, I like this host. I like that host. We don't have time. Things are collapsing. We're going into a controlled depression. Troops are standing by. Mexico is collapsing. We got to be adults here, folks. I've tried to take the high road on so many issues. And as we get bigger and bigger and reach more people, you know, more and more folks just get jealous who are kind of in the old guard movement, and they need to stop that. We need to pull together against the globalists. We don't have time to screw around. Speaking of tyranny, here's the audio from the video that's up on prisonplanet.com of the Federal Reserve telling a great news outlet. I've seen the work they've done. Turn your camera off. All color of law, all fraud, just completely made up. Just telling the slave he can't stand on the sidewalk and videotape. Here it is.
What's that?
Affairs.
No, I was just getting some steering shots.
No, you need to go through public affairs for you to videotape or take pictures.
Of any federal building?
Of any federal building.
Because I was just at the Academy of Sciences.
I don't care, Captain. This is Federal Reserve. For you to take pictures or videotape, you just have to call public affairs. They set it up. You have a meeting. They tell you what time to come out and take pictures. You take pictures all day long.
So I can't stand on the public sidewalk and take
pictures?
You
can go across the street if you like, but they still going to come over there and ask you questions if you stay too long.
So where am I allowed to shoot from?
You can't take pictures of a federal building, period.
And not even the cap. If I was a tourist, I couldn't even take a picture of the Capitol.
If you was a tourist and you went by and you snapped a picture, they're not going to snatch your camera. But if you come up with something like that, they're going to approach you and they're going to ask you what you're
doing. Stop right there. You know, we're going to start the live feed at PrisonPlanet.tv in about 4 minutes. So why not just play this clip with video then? But in fact, I want to get this reporter on, and I want to talk about this with Dr. Edwin Vieira coming up, because he's a constitutional law scholar, won at the Supreme Court multiple times. I mean, this is so un-American, so illegal. She walks up to city property and tells him, you notice she doesn't go off the property line, she's behind a little fence, and says, you just get out of here. See, that's the essence of tyranny. And if they practice that tyranny on you and you put up with it, you become a slave. This is a federal building. You can't videotape any federal building. Hey, lady, it's a private offshore bank destroying America. And you're destroying America by coming up. This happened to me everywhere in D.C., and I had to refuse and say no. And they'd call supervisors, and then they'd just walk off. In some cases, though, they said, we're going to go ahead and have you arrested. Come to me. And that was at the Library of Congress, and I'm standing on the sidewalk, and I said, no, I'm not coming on your jurisdiction. Nice try. And boy, they had their tasers ready. They were going to light me up for not licking their boots up one side and down the other. They were ready to light me up. Imagine I'm standing on the sidewalk filming all the occultic stuff that's all for a future film. It's a multitask when I go to an event. I was covering Bilderberg, but I multitask for the Obama film, the JFK film, and an occult film that I'm working on. And they just come running out and said, you can't film. And I said, yeah, I can. And I happen to know all the, even the legalese they have in D.C. And they just said, come here. Come to me. And I said, you're not going to light me up, terrorist. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Thank you so much for joining us. We are simulcasting now for the next 2 hours at PrisonPlanet.tv. Dr. Edwin Vieira, constitutional law scholar and attorney, will be joining us to talk about the states' rights movement exploding. We now have Alabama and several other states moving to say any new federal gun laws are unconstitutional. We're not following them. No gun confiscation. Montana, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. We've got a state senator from Texas making national headlines about putting state forces on the border as Mexico collapses. That's coming up in the next hour. A little bit later, I'm going to play this clip that's up on PrisonPlanet.com. And that clip deals with the fact that the Federal Reserve minions walk over to a camera person and tell them that they aren't allowed to videotape a local camera crew. In fact, we have that clip now. Let's go ahead and cut over here to this shot. And then we're going to go ahead and go to this video for folks. So here it is. Right here live on PrisonPlanet.tv.
What's that?
You go through public affairs.
No, I was just getting some cheering shots.
No, you need to go through public affairs for you to videotape or take pictures.
Of any federal building?
Of any federal building.
Because I was just at the Academy of Sciences.
I don't care, Captain. This is Federal Reserve. For you to take pictures or videotape, you just have to call public affairs. They set it up. You have a meeting. They tell you what time to come out and take pictures. You take pictures all day long.
So I can't stand on the public sidewalk and take
You can go
pictures.
Across the street if you like, but they still going to come over there and ask you questions if you stay too long.
So where am I allowed to shoot from?
Stop. I mean, this is so incredible in America to see this. You can even go across the street, but we'll still come over there. There's no law. And she says, we may snatch your camera, like a third world country. Snatch you. And I had this happen to me all over D.C., and I'd say, look, there's no law, and you know it. And the larger issue of what they do is tell you then to come sign up with them, and then they just don't answer your calls or don't return calls. Because C-Think, a film production company for Independent Film Channel, was following us around when we were in D.C. last year, and they had tried. They had tried to get permits. There's no permits issued. Permits are only for inside the buildings because it's a First Amendment issue. It's been litigated. But they don't care. They still come out and they still enforce this on everyone. And you've got to ask yourselves why, because they're setting the precedent. This is just like a third world country or Soviet Russia or Nazi Germany. And the public has been trained like cowards to just do what they say. Let's go ahead and go back to the clip.
The picture, they're not going to snatch your camera, but if you come up with something like that, they're going to approach you, and they're going to ask you what you're doing, they're going to ask you for ID, all that good stuff.
Huh.
Okay?
What if I was wearing, like, a press badge?
Now, if you did that, they're going to ask you, who's your contact person? Because then you should have contacted Public Affairs.
The Fed Public Affairs, or just, like...
Public Affairs for the Federal Reserve.
So, for every building, I need to contact that
Affairs
person?
Yes, sir.
Even just to shoot from the public sidewalk?
Yes, sir.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yes, sir.
Is that new?
No, it's always been like that. Now, there's tourists that come through here, snap a picture, and keep on going.
Yeah, and usually don't bother them.
No, as long as they take a picture and keep on going. But when you come out with a video camera like that, that's when we come out and get you.
Because I've shot, like, tons of buildings, and you're the first person to ever approach me.
They probably never paid attention to you.
Edwin Vieira coming up and get his take on it. But... this is us being slaves. She's talking to this guy like he's a bad two-year-old child. How dare you in America videotape this, but we're going to videotape everything you do and listen to your phone calls without warrants.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Dr. Edwin Vieira has a long bio, has won cases as a constitutional attorney before the Supreme Court and other major courts. He is a staunch defender of the Second Amendment and of constitutional money. And we've got him here to cover a host of issues today for the next 51 minutes that we have left in this hour. But, sir, just for those who have just joined us for the first time or may not know who you are, briefly, for listeners, what's most important for folks to know about yourself?
Well, that I have been studying problems of constitutional law for more than 30 years now, focusing to a very large degree on monetary matters, and then, let me say, in the last, probably 10 years total, looking into questions of the constitutional militia, and then more specifically after 9/11, the whole area of what's called homeland security, and then the intersection of those two matters, which, when you study it, Alex, it really tends to bring in or sweep in all of the basic principles of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They're intimately tied in to those areas because I like to tell people, you look at money and the militia or that whole homeland security problem, what are the two fundamental powers of government that you're talking about? The power of the purse and the power of the sword, which anyone who is well-versed in political philosophy realizes historically have always been considered to be the premier powers of government, of any kind of government.
Well, you are accredited as being in the top 10 constitutional law scholars out there, so you can speak to all these issues. I want to get into the now upwards of 30 with Alabama declaring a pro-Second Amendment bill that's been introduced. States are passing these bills saying no to the feds, bringing up the martial law, bringing up the gun confiscation plans, bringing up the presidential decision directives. Very exciting to see the state reps and state senators informed on what's going on. We have one joining us next hour. But before we do that, before you joined us, I played a clip of a online news agency videotaping from the sidewalk the Federal Reserve in D.C., which I've done myself, the private Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve minion, who's not a federal police officer, comes over and says, you can't film across the street. We'll come harass you there. You can't film here. You've got to get permission from us. Well, I just so happen to know that a film crew tried to get permission to film out front the Federal Reserve when they told them that from the Independent Film Channel, and they were told no. So they're turning a right into a privilege. I want to play you a clip of this this audio and then get your response to what you hear. This is during the confrontation where he's standing at the fence and she's behind it, you know, telling him that he can't be there filming. Here's a little bit of that.
They're not going to snatch your camera, but if you come up with something like that, they're going to approach you. They're going to ask you what you're doing. They're going to ask you for ID, all that good stuff.
Huh.
Okay?
What if I was wearing, like, a press badge?
Now, if you did that, they're going to ask you, who's your contact person? Because then you should have contacted Public Affairs.
The Fed Public Affairs or just, like...
Public Affairs for the Federal Reserve.
So, for every building, I need to contact that
Affairs
person?
Yes, sir.
Even just to shoot from the public sidewalk?
Yes, sir.
I did not know that.
Yes, sir.
Is that new?
No, it's always been like that. Now, there's tourists that come through here, snap a picture, and keep on going.
Yeah, and usually don't bother them.
No, as long as they take a picture and keep on going. But when you come out with a video camera like that, that's when we come out and get you.
Because I've shot, like, tons of buildings, so you're the first person to ever approach me.
They probably never paid attention to you. But this is the Federal Reserve. Okay?
Is that vague, or... What do you mean?
What do you mean? You don't know what the Federal Reserve is?
This is the federal, I mean...
Okay, who do you work for?
The American News Project. What I mean is, like, I've shot the White House and the Capitol building.
And they never approached you?
No.
I can't even see that.
Or the Treasury building. You know, standing there where all the public walks, just standing right there on the sidewalk.
Taking pictures.
You know, just getting some B-roll of Vic here. I've never had anybody...
But no, in order for you to take pictures of this building or any kind of videotape, you have to go to Public Affairs.
Huh.
Okay.
All right. So I can't just... Shoot some shots here.
No, sir.
All right. And what about the shots that I've already shot? Can I use those?
I have nothing to do with what you've done shot already.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Is there, like, up security here at the Federal Reserve?
Is it up? No, it's always been like this.
Yeah?
All right, stop right there. This is classic. It's not just feds and federal security guards at the Supreme Court and everywhere else I've been coming across the street or the White House or the Washington Monument saying, you can't film it. You can't film it. And I said, go ahead and arrest me. You know, it's color of law and a fraud, and I'm going to have to sue you. And they back off. They know they're making this up. They've been told to go out and create this legalese and try to create some type of common law precedence to just have us as slaves accept it. But with this, it's even sweeter because she's saying in the earlier part of the clip, this is a Federal Reserve, federal building. But it's not a Federal Reserve. It's not a federal building. And there she is behind her little fence telling him that even if you go across the street, we're going to come over and might snatch your camera. Dr. Edwin Vieira, as a constitutional attorney and law scholar who's, again, won before the Supreme Court, what is this we're witnessing?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what the motivation is, although I think it's probably a sinister one. It's also, I've seen instances where this type of argument has been made about taking photographs of police engaged in activities on a public street and arrests and so forth. Primarily, I suppose they're concerned about being sued for police brutality, but nonetheless, I cannot imagine the constitutional justification for saying that someone standing on a public sidewalk cannot take a photograph of any building within Washington, D.C. I mean, any building. What's funny about this is I put out a book several years ago called Crashmaker. It's a semi-fictionalized novel of a collapse of the Federal Reserve System, and on the cover of that book is a stylized drawing of the Federal Reserve, the old Federal Reserve building on Constitutional Avenue. And that was taken from a photograph, or a number of photographs that I took, actually on their plaza. Set up my tripod, and I was just shooting film half of the afternoon to get the light right. And no one showed up at that point. That is because this was years ago. That was in 1998 or 1999, sometime ago. Maybe even a little bit earlier than that. Certainly no one showed up and said, well, you can't take a photograph of the Federal Reserve building. And now this woman, whatever her capacity is saying you can't shoot it from a public street.
Well, her capacity is a Federal Reserve police officer in a literal stormtrooper outfit with a gold buckle. I mean, it's the closest uniform I've seen people wearing that's the closest to a Nazi uniform I've ever seen.
Well, then she's some kind of private security officer because the Federal Reserve System obviously is not a governmental entity. Board of Governors might be a governmental board, but not the rest of the Federal Reserve System. So it's all very peculiar. But it's something that Aaron Russo ran into this problem many years ago. I wasn't with him, but it was described to me. He was down shooting the IRS building video camera. And they came out and told him he couldn't do that. And I believe he walked across the street, and he was shooting from across the street, and he had a confrontation. Some of the D.C. police actually showed up and confronted him and said this couldn't be done.
And he said, so, show me the law, and backed him off.
Yeah, well, that's right. But obviously they have some, I mean, there may be some legitimate concern in, lurking in the background that the people who are taking these photographs or attempting to find some vulnerability in the building.
No, it's ridiculous, though.
Right?
They're surveilling us.
They give.
But I mean,
right.
They're surveilling us everywhere with cameras. And then they just passed a law in England that if you videotape or photograph police, you're going to be charged with terrorism at the officer's discretion. I mean, this is like the Soviet Union.
Well, that's right. And I think that this whole business, it has a positive and a negative sense. They want you to get used to their cameras and their constant surveillance. And on the other hand, they want you not to be recording what they're doing. Because that, is, of course, is what turns up in evidence in civil rights cases and police brutality cases and perhaps criminal cases in which someone is charged with something and the videotaping of the event shows that exactly the opposite happened.
They're definitely scared of cameras. And you know, we saw when they murdered that guy execution style in the Bay Area, shooting him in the back, they confiscated two cameras, two phone cameras. They said that the cameras, the government cameras, malfunctioned, but then people in a train and down the way did videotape, even them taking cameras, and then it came out that they were trying to cover up the murder. So they're not going to be able to stop this.
And that's the only reason for it. Let's face the fact. The only possible reason, leaving aside the mystical theory that a terrorist would use some videotape of the IRS building to commit an act of terrorism, the only reason for this is to be able to cover up official misconduct.
And boss the people around and train us to be slaves.
Well, that's the other side, watching you. But I mean, in terms of photographing them, the only reason is to cover up official misconduct.
Well, Dr. Evan Vieira, let me say this. When I was in D.C. last year for several days, they weren't just bossing me around, treating me like crap. There would be families with their camera taking pictures at the Lincoln Memorial. We have this on tape, and they would come over and talk to them like they were dirt. And literally, we'd be...
Telling them what, Alex?
Telling them you can't photograph. We would be in the grass across the street on the other side from the White House, and we had White House police come over and tell us we can't film. And I'd say, this is the First Amendment. Oh, let me have your press pass. I go, buddy, you know it's the First Amendment. And I said, do what you got to do. So then they had Secret Service follow us around all day in D.C. because we dare not get down and just start licking the boots.
Which tends to suggest that they had nothing better to do with the Secret Service. Why aren't they out searching for those terrorists lurking in the back alleys of D.C.?
Well, we know now.
If they have time to harass the average person, what does that tell you about the war on terror?
What does that tell you about their attitude and how bankrupt the government is and how thuggish it is?
Well, I think we know that already. But, I mean, I'm just looking at the excuse that they give us for all this thuggishness. And what are they spending their time doing? You're telling me they're harassing tourists at the Lincoln Memorial?
It's unbelievable, sir. They just boss. You'll have like a sidewalk by a park with a family eating ice cream cones, and the police go, you can't block the sidewalk. Move along. Move along. And the father's like, and then they all grovel, and the police go, and they got private security guards doing it. You couldn't believe it. And it was just off the charts. Stay there, sir. I want to come back and get into the states' rights movement, which you've been pushing for a long time. Dr. Evan Vieira is our guest. Stay with us.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns.
We are back live. Thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Evan Vieira is our guest. We'll give you his website before he leaves us. Okay, let's get right into upwards of 30 states now. And we've got an Alabama representative coming on in the next few days. We've got a state senator from Texas coming on. Multiple bills in Texas, including telling the feds, hey, you're not protecting the borders. The state's going to do it. The states, as you know, but the listeners may not, created the federal government. It's now been globalized, so it's illegitimate. You've been pushing for this for a long time, but not just the states, at the county, city level, these committees of safety. Break down your view and your take, and are you buoyed by the fact that we see a massive states' rights movement going on right now, doctor?
Well, what's encouraging about it, number one, is that obviously the educational process has worked at the legislative level. It's state legislators who are pushing this now for the first time. I mean, yeah, you've been pushing it. I've been pushing it. Private citizens have been out there attempting to convince these folks that the state's position in the constitutional system has to be reinvigorated, if you will, and reinforced, or enforced, really. And now they're beginning to pick up on this. Of course, it's the economic circumstances that are doing it, but whatever the reason, it's happening. The next step is for that to be fleshed out in terms of to what particular problems of greatest immediate importance does state sovereignty extend. You mentioned one of them, obviously, in places like Texas and Arizona, you have, and New Mexico, you have the illegal immigration problem. But there are a number of these, what I would call homeland security, local homeland security problems that they have to deal with. And then thirdly, and this is, of course, a sequential matter. It's not going to come in the same resolution or the same statute that starts the process. There has to be consideration given to how state sovereignty is going to be enforced. It's not enough to tell those people in Washington that the states have constitutional authority, that the states are sick and tired of the general government in Washington interfering with that unconstitutionally and imposing its own attempted controls on states and localities. But there has to be a mechanism for enforcing this limitation on the general government, number one, and essentially making these reserved state powers function again. And all I would tell people is, well, the Constitution tells us what the answer to that is. Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And ultimately, that's what the Tenth Amendment is looking towards, a free state, a state with certain kinds of reserved powers, powers to the state itself, while powers to the people. And that's what we've been getting away from. Now we have to go back to basic principles. And that basic principle ultimately is that each state has to pass the necessary legislation to revitalize its militia structure and bring every adult male and female citizen of that state into that structure in one way or another to make it absolutely clear to those people in Washington that we do not need their interference, we do not want their interference, and they would, I would suspect, look at that kind of a structure and be highly deterred from attempting to push that interference too far.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, this doesn't have a chance. What can we do? They have a loser mentality and don't understand it was 5% of the population started and won the Revolutionary War. You're an expert on that as well. And that this we have a great chance if we believe in it and point out how bankrupt and unconstitutional the federal government's activities are right now as they federalize the state police, as they federalize local governments, as they federalize with bills the universities now. I mean, the feds are openly taking over. It is the duty, not just the right, under the Declaration of Independence and the 10th and 9th Amendment, for us to say no and rectify this. I mean, Time Magazine and Newsweek are openly announcing a new Bank of the World will rule the United States and set all our policies. We must do this. We've got 30 states passing or preparing to pass bills. We need to then put pressure to have those enforced. I mean, can you speak to the fact that we can win this thing?
Well, of course we can. There's no way that some Bank of the World can force us to use its currency. That's an absurdity. We have to accede to that. We have to accept it. We have to go along with it. We have to surrender to them. The fact of the matter is, we are the vast majority of people in this country. The other side has a very small number, and the people on that side, probably a large number of them, would change sides in any kind of crisis situation. They're not ideologically wed to that Leviathan in Washington. Secondly, we are the people in actual possession of the property and the resources of this country, as well as the ability to exercise, you know, intelligence. We're the ones that run the machines. We're the ones that make the society function. So if the vast majority is in possession of the real resources, why are we so worried about them? They have a lot of paper, and we can repudiate that paper. Most of it was generated unconstitutionally anyway. I think we can definitely win this because, A, we are the majority, and B, we have direct control, I hope still, over our state legislative process.
Dr. Edwin Vieira, we've got a break. Long segment coming up. Let's continue breaking this down on the other side. Then I'm going to get into Pentagon brainwashing and movies and TV for the young people and a lot more. Stay with us. We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be going back to Dr. Edwin Vieira, constitutional law scholar and attorney, here in just a moment. Before we go back to him, I want to tell you about a few of the sponsors, very important sponsors that I believe in that make this radio show possible. One of them is SurvivalSeedBank.com, SurvivalSeedBank.com. In a real crisis, having non-hybrid seeds means having the ability to grow an endless supply of nutrient-dense food to feed your loved ones. There have been times in American history, pilgrims, for example, when seeds had the highest value of any bartered item, even silver or gold. There's a war on against non-hybrid seeds waged by the global elite who want to control us by controlling the food supply. Governments are storing seeds. The UN is storing seeds. Globalists of every stripe are storing seeds near the Arctic Circle and seed banks. Why do you think this is? You know why. Control. Solutions from Science is trying to get the seeds out of the globalist hands and into the hands of the people, one seed bank at a time, one family at a time. At Survival Seed Bank from Solutions from Science contains enough open pollinated seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden and then save your seeds. SurvivalSeedBank.com or give them a call, 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. And from the same excellent sponsor, Solutions from Science, we also have MySolarBackup.com. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power, and this great system, the solar power generator system, is designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage. You get the emergency power backup kit, which consists of the power source 1,800, power plant, and high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. And again, the website is MySolarBackup.com, MySolarBackup.com, or 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365, MySolarBackup.com. Great system. Okay, going back to Dr. Edwin Vieira, let's continue with the states. For those that don't know, maybe you should talk about the history, how the states created a compact to create the federal government, their right to abolish it or remove it or amend it. Instead, we have the feds openly training local police, openly setting all the standards, openly taking over, and the feds themselves, as if, you know, the federal government wasn't bad enough, are now openly controlled by foreign banks, openly signing away Congress's authority. The president, under the Presidential Decision Directive 51 and others, is saying the Congress is ceremonial. Congress isn't allowed in the highest security clearances to see, you know, the full plans. Can you speak to that, Dr. Edwin Vieira?
Well, of course, it's a constitutional impossibility. You know, you run down this list of things, and one checks off only one box next to them: unconstitutional, unconstitutional, unconstitutional. So what's the real problem here? It's the practical one, that the constitutional checks and balances in the system are not being put into operation. It's not that they're not functional. Of course they're functional. It's that they're not being put into operation. They're not being put into operation at the judicial level, because we watched the Supreme Court look the other way with this question of Mr. Obama's eligibility for the president, which I should think is a fundamentally important issue. No problem there. They look the other way. We look at what you were talking about, National Security Decision Directive 51, which at least in principle is an assertion of presidential control over the entire system. All checks and balances are gone. Do we see Congress responding to this, even with a resolution saying absolutely not? We're the ones in control here, not you? Of course we don't see that. Do we see the states? Well, now we're beginning to see the states. We're beginning to see this process of check and balances work, actually from the way that it should always have worked, from the bottom up. And the final layer, the foundational structure, as I love to keep telling people, we're told this over and over again in the Constitution, a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. The only thing the Constitution says is necessary for any purpose whatsoever, and necessary for the ultimate purpose. But it depends upon what? It depends upon actual participation by people. It's not a spectator sport to live in a free society. It requires self-government, and therefore it requires some kind of commitment and activity. And that's what we haven't seen in the past. We're beginning to see people wake up to that. Obviously, these state legislatures who are passing these 10th Amendment or state sovereignty resolutions are taking a stand on this, and it's wonderful from an educational point of view. But as I said earlier in the show, we need to begin thinking about the implementation of those, the reassertion of actual state power and legal authority as an effective check and balance, not simply a rhetorical check and balance. We're at that stage now. The rhetoric is coming out. That's excellent. The next step is the practice.
Absolutely. And, you know, the good news is when you look at the state resolutions in Alabama, in New Hampshire, in Colorado, they've now passed it in Oklahoma through the House, and many other states are passing it. They're saying, look, the federal government isn't protecting the borders. We will, because you're not doing your responsibility. We're doing this under 10th Amendment rights and 9th Amendment. Look, we know you're building FEMA camps. I mean, it's in the bills. I have them right here. A new one, House Bill 225, that under martial law, HB 225 Alabama, you will not be allowed to wantonly seize firearms in case of declared state of emergency. On and on and on. And they cite in these bills the PDDs, the executive orders, the federal bills, the camps. I mean, this is showing a high level of education. And I talked to these state reps. We probably interviewed more than 20 of them the last few weeks. We've got more coming on this week. The understanding is exploding. I mean, they know as much as I do. I don't know that you know as much as you do. You study this so closely. But they are highly informed. And they tell me that the knowledge of this is spreading like wildfire through government, not just state government, but the subparts, the counties, the cities, the police. So, I mean, that is very, very exciting. So speak to that, and then I'd like you to talk about not just the state level, but the county, the power of the juries, the grand juries, the power of the sheriffs, the power of the committees of safety that you've been spearheading.
Well, if we go back to that first educational point, the thing that interests me about this is that it does not seem to be a sectional phenomenon. This isn't something coming up only in, say, Alabama or Mississippi, or only coming up in some of those far western Rocky Mountain states. It's essentially all over the country. And that's, from my perspective at least, a very good sign that we really have a national awakening and a refusal any longer to simply acquiesce in what's been going on. Now, if you look at response, I said before, enforcement mechanisms or responses, there are probably a number of them that can be brought into play. Obviously, if you go to the jury system, informed individuals on a jury are going to take very seriously their responsibilities, and we may see that certain unjust laws don't get themselves enforced, not because the juries essentially nullify them, but because they simply don't convict these people. They don't find the reasonable doubt necessary beyond a reasonable doubt necessary to convict people under some of these statutes. And under those circumstances, there's absolutely nothing that can be done. The statutes simply find themselves to be unenforceable. On the other side, grand juries, at least in those states where the grand juries are not entirely controlled by prosecutors, prosecuting attorneys, and state court judges, we may see some of the more horrendous oppression being challenged and indictments being issued. I have a feeling that that may be one of the last steps, actually, because the first thing that has to be brought under control is what you were suggesting with the use of sheriffs, as a for instance. I am not so inclined to think that the sheriffs are enough. I think it's very good that they are waking up to their responsibilities, and very good that they are waking up to the excessive intrusion at the state and local level that we're seeing from the federal, so-called federal law enforcement agencies. But until we have the ultimate backup there, until we have the organization of very large numbers of people in state militias, I don't think the sheriffs are going to prove to be sufficient to deal with this problem. And I think that's the key ultimately. It's organization of the people themselves. We've allowed the other side to tell us how we're going to be organized in their phony political parties, and they have phony special interest groups, and then otherwise to divide and conquer us so that we haven't been able to put together our unity really in at the level of force that it could exercise. And ultimately, the one way to do that with constitutional authority, this is the clear element in it, constitutional authority from the national level all the way down to the local level, because remember, the militia of the several states are elements of the federal constitution, not simply within the states and the localities, is to revitalize those organizations and organize. We're talking about tens of millions of people here, not a few thousand, 100,000, but literally tens of millions of people. And if that kind of organization won't be sufficient to back up the sheriffs, to back up the local and state officials, to back up the grand juries, well, then what would be?
Well, Dr. Edwin Vieira, constitutional law scholar and attorney, the feds know, and I want to get your response to this. I know you're aware of this, but I want to, you know, for the audience, break this down for those that may not be fully aware of this key element. They know the states have the right to abolish the criminal federal government. They know the states have the right through grand juries and other mechanisms and state legislative investigations to go after criminals in government and these foreign bankers that have usurped the federal power and are now usurping the state power. So we're forced to carry out this operation against them, or they're going to fully destroy the republic itself. Some spin this as if we're trying to get rid of the republic by secession. No, we're having the states redeclare their powers. But when you study this, you know, the feds are coming in under emergency management and saying, we tell the local police what to do. You know, they're clearly usurping the system, and the establishment knows their bureaucracy, their police, their feds aren't even enough. That's why we've seen for decades the feds setting this up, but now under Obama, they're actually launching the full operation for a million man, a civilian corps. The Pentagon's now signed the order to start the civilian corps. To co-opt the preachers, the pastors, the community, and give them little federal signets, even secret operations like InfraGuard, 25,000 plus executives government and in corporations being given secret. This is mainstream news. License to kill orders and firearms. So we have a covert, true espionage operation by the globalists through the feds going on, and that shows they know the policies they're bringing in are going to foment revolt and proper right to revolt under what I'd call, you know, the Article 10 in New Hampshire, right to revolt, you know, one of the strongest out there. So can you speak to what I just laid out there? This is a real war going on in our communities.
Well, let's recall one of them is that within the general government itself, we actually have two categories of individuals. We have what I would call the loyal public servants who are actually trying to live within the spirit, at least, of the Constitution. It's difficult to live within the letter, given the extent of unconstitutional activity by that entity. And then we have what I like to call the rogue public officials. These are the ones who either don't care or intentionally are violating the Constitution for some individual gain. It's usually careerism of one kind or another. Those people are really acting in at least a quasi-criminal capacity. So I think, number one, they are not uniform at that level. All right, they are not in a unitary conspiracy against us. We have allies there as well as at the state and local level. But on the other side of that coin, they obviously have a long-term game plan. I love this thing that Obama has pointed up, this idea that they need a huge civilian national security force, at least as large and well-equipped as the armed forces and so forth and so on. That is exactly my point. That is precisely what we need. And the Constitution tells us where we're supposed to find that organization.
But this is a federal...
He has made my point, and I agree with him 100%. If we had that organization, we would solve a great deal of the problems in this country.
But he's creating a federal doppelganger of the militia that serves the central state. That's right.
But you see, he's admitted the principle. He's admitted the principle. Now we say, thank you very much, Barack. Let's go over here to this page on the Constitution, and we see how to implement this. In a sense, he's being hoisted with his own petard, because from a propagandistic point of view, it's going to be very difficult for him to say, well, I don't want this organization if you people control it. Then that wakes everybody up. Oh, you want the organization if you control it. We're going to have some kind of Hitler Youth here, or some kind of Red Guards, or Komsomol. That's what you want to set up. Aha. Now we go to the next level of public awareness of what we're really dealing with. It's no longer listening to Alex Jones say this. It's listening to Barack Obama tell us that he wants it this way. I think it's extraordinarily dangerous, the position he's put himself in from his point of view, because he's made my point. He's made the constitutional point. The situation has become so dire in this country that we have to go to essentially that last line of defense. And the Constitution tells us who's supposed to be in that last line of defense. It's us, not him.
Dr. Edwin Vieira, here's my issue. We can say that there's the good guys in government and the rogues, and we know it's the good men and women who have held this back and slowed it down, but now total tyranny is arriving. And we saw this in Germany and Russia and many other places. The rogues have gotten in all the major power positions at the highest levels. They're bringing in their personnel, expanding their cadres, and I think it's fair to say this is a completely rogue government at you know every major operational level. The directives are rogue. There may be people that sluggishly implement it throughout the machinery, but I think we need to declare this as the Founding Fathers did, as Patrick Henry did, as a completely bankrupt rogue government.
Well, except for the fact that the major element in the government, which the Constitution tells us is the one necessary, we haven't yet implemented it. We're the ones who are this ultimate power in the government. And for 150 years, the people in control in Washington, and to a large extent in the state governments, have let the militia atrophy to the point that they are, I won't
say. Your phone was cutting out there, Doctor. We may have lost him. Folks, they've usurped the militia, and that's what they do. When the police walk over to you and say, don't videotape us when you're standing 100 yards away, or when they come up and say, you can't videotape the Golden Gate Bridge, but everybody else can, and they can surveil you, and Google Maps has it right there, they are exercising power. Just like we don't exercise our power to be sovereigns and stand up and have liberty, we've been cowed, we've been intimidated, we've been trained and taught to stand down. And they've trained us to be slaves. They've trained us like you train a dog, to follow orders and do what we're told. And so we have to have this awakening to how bankrupt they are and how what they've set up is a counterfeit of our country. And they're now even removing the final, even ceremonial vestiges of freedom here. These are illegitimate criminals. Sir, your phone broke up there. Please continue with your point.
Back now, Alex. Well, no, I agree with you. All I'm saying is we can't allow that to deflect us from our own course. Yes, this is what they're doing, but what is the one way in the long run to defeat them? It's to organize ourselves on a sound constitutional basis with legal authority and the power at the local level. We can do that if we simply will ourselves to do it. I don't see how they can stop us short of imposing that ultimate police state tyranny. And then, all obviously, at that stage, when they attempt to do that, all bets are off. We're in the Declaration of Independence situation, and it's a matter of, as Mao Zedong says, political power comes out of the barrel of a gun. We're not quite there yet. We still have the ability, if we're willing and smart enough, to take the steps necessary to bring ourselves back into that constitutional structure. And all I'm looking for is the next step in what we've seen in the sovereignty resolutions, the enforcement mechanism. Let's take those sovereignty resolutions to their logical conclusion.
Stay there. Let's talk about those enforcement mechanisms and what you've really been pushing, these committees of security or committees of public order, how the people take back control of their government. And then the other ace in the hole the enemy has, stage terror attacks. You know, when Oklahoma and others passed resolutions saying they weren't going under UN control, we know what happened at Oklahoma City and we know who did it. Stay with us. Final segment with Dr. Edwin Vieira. Doctor, be sure and fire out your website and some of your great books and for folks to get involved with you in the committees of safety. Modeled after what happened in the decade before the Revolutionary War, how people communicated and set up their own true government outside of the British regional unelected governors. This is an organizational fight. In summation, how do folks support you? How do they get involved? How do they take your great constitutional ideas and put them into action in the field?
Well, first they can go to newswithviews.com. There's a large archive there of articles I have written on these subjects over the past several years. Then number two, they can go to committeesofsafety.com or committeesofsafety.org, and you'll see what some people at least are doing to attempt to revitalize militia structures and other forms of local organization to deal with these problems in a strictly constitutional fashion. And you can find some links there to my books and some DVDs that have been put out, which will be useful. At least people tell me that they've been proven to be very useful. And, of course, at this stage, we need education in the second step. That first step, the education has succeeded, obviously, and we're seeing more states passing these sovereignty resolutions. The second step now is to expand that education into the implementation stage. And ultimately, that implementation has to be done by local organizing, and then through local organizing, bringing grassroots pressure to bear on the state legislatures and passing the next stage statutes. I mean, some of these are monetary reform statutes. You look, Indiana has one, Missouri has one, Colorado has one, Montana, the one that's going in there, there's one in Georgia. They're cropping up all over the country as the result, I think, of a statute I wrote in New Hampshire several years ago. And now that the economic crisis has broken out, monetary reform, which people were looking at sideways, paying no attention to 10 years ago, is on the front burner. Very shortly, we're going to see, as a result of this same crisis, or at least the way it will be playing out, that these other issues of local organization and the revitalization of the militia will go on to the front burner as well. And at that stage, we really begin to take back the country from the local and state level, because it's through local and state organizations.
Okay.
Getting control of the legislature, we're going to do it.
Doctor, but the globalists, as you know, aren't going to sit on their hands, and they are going to stage crises, stage wars. That's mm-hmm. They're very bold. That's why they're in power. They take action. The people don't, at least in modern times. What do we do about the feds, the illegitimate feds, staging events, staging crises? I mean, openly saying Barack Obama may be like Lincoln. They're openly saying they may come in and swat down states. I mean, their entire battle buildup. And under the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, they say governors will be federal, dual-hatted. I mean, this is all happening.
Well, the governors, let's start with the governors. The governors simply have to refuse that. If we're talking about people that have been educated in terms of state sovereignty and the true position of the states in the Constitution, they have to refuse to go along with unconstitutional directives no matter where they come from. And ultimately, if you're talking about a scenario in which it's the goal is for some of these rogue politicians to actually suppress large segments of this country, then the only solution to that is for those large segments of the country to organize themselves beforehand. I mean, self-government requires self-reliance, ultimately self-protection.
Yes, well, that's what we're doing. We're here mobilizing and letting folks know the playbook of the globalists that have now hijacked the nation. Dr. Edwin Vieira, I want to thank you for spending all this time with us.
Well, thank you.
Did you get any response last time you were on to folks wanting to set up their own?
Yes, I certainly did. Your people are well in touch with what's going on.
Okay, well, give us the websites so folks can also get involved in your committees of safety.
Okay, the first website for educational purposes, newswithviews.com. And then for activism, committeesofsafety.com.
All right. I want to talk to you again in the next few months as all this develops and unfolds. We thank you for your tireless defense of the Republic. Dr. Edwin Vieira, take care.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with the next hour. Got a state senator joining us. She's trying to declare sovereignty right here in Texas. Don't forget our websites, prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. Well, we're already into the fourth and final hour. Got about 59 and a half minutes laying out before us. Have a state senator saying if the feds won't protect the border, the state will. His only problem is Rick Perry's going to try to block him. You watch. He loves to paint himself as a patriot, a conservative, but that's not the case. Mexico on the verge of collapsing. That's the State Department. The yuppies have no idea. They're still traveling down there to be shut down by the Mexican police, even in the resort towns now, as that nation fully collapses via corruption, just like the United States is starting to collapse from corruption. I mentioned this yesterday and a little bit earlier, but I want to spend some time on this later, too, after the state senator leaves us. Texas unknowingly donate children's blood to research. Medical privacy advocates, ethicists say parents should be asked for consent before newborn screening samples are kept. Yeah, you know, I've refused this, and when they come in, they go, it's the law. The health department has to test for your baby having diseases. And I go, nurse, I'm not ignorant. I happen to know. That goes to the health department and is put in an international DNA database, and then you claim you own my children's DNA and patent it. I've seen the federal court cases, and they go, and then they back off. One time I was so busy, I've had three children, I just was busy and just, oh, sign this, and looked at it halfway and thought it was discharge papers. I did sign one. I mean, you know, because they just slip it in on you. It was like asleep on the couch, and then they come in, sleep in the chair. This is the criminality of government. This is what it does. This is how it operates. And people's denial, I would talk about this for year after year after year after year. If you're 30, almost 36, it started in 1973. worldwide, wherever the IMF and World Bank control things, because they control our governments, this was done, a global DNA database. And they can use this to frame you, you name it. So I want to read some of the story before the show ends. It was also in UPI. But it's only about Texas, because we've been exposing it here. This is all over the world, New Zealand, Australia, Germany, England, Canada. This is everywhere. This is criminal. And so we'll break down this whitewash and go over a little bit of that. I've also got some other important stories I want to cover dealing with. They want to tax forest fires. They want to tax you nationally if there's forest fires, because forest fires put off carbon dioxide, and that's toxic waste. I mean, they're just going to tax everything. So we'll be going over that report for you as well today. Before I end this segment, let's go ahead and pull up the ObamaDeception.net website. Can we pipe in that audio? I want to show people the site and who are watching at PrisonPlanet.tv and encourage you to go to ObamaDeception.net or TheObamaDeception.net. Both will get you there. And watch the trailer, read the data page, research about this, and then get involved. I want you to get The Obama Deception on DVD. I want you to order it. It ships March 15th. Pre-order it. You'll be the first to get it in the mail. That's only 2.5 weeks away now. Please get The Obama Deception at Infowars.com or TheObamaDeception.net or call toll-free to get it. Get your pre-order in now. We also have these great T-shirts that have half of Bush's face saying, worst president ever. The other half's Obama, and it says, until now. That shatters the left-right paradigm, sparks conversations with Obamanoids and Bushoids. You can explain that, don't you understand, they give you false choices. They show you both of these people, and then they lay them out, and then you think you have a choice, like going on a used car lot, and he says, here's the two cars you can buy. These are the two choices you've got. What about expanding those choices? The Obama Deception doesn't get into, was he born in Kenya, or, you know, is he a commie or whatever. It gets into the fact he lied about everything he said he'd do, his globalist agenda is evil, gun confiscation, FEMA camps, everything Bush was setting up on steroids, continuing with Barack Obama, because the public blames everything on Bush. They remove the puppet, put the new puppet in, takes 4 to 8 years people to wake up to that he's a puppet, then they put in a new puppet, and we never look at the power behind the throne. We never look at the establishment. We never look at who's setting these globalist policies. We have the same policies here that are in England, that are in Australia, that are in Germany. It's the same social engineers. This is a program, a control plan. They're on record about it. All we've got to do is tell the truth about this, and the new world order is going to fail. TheObamaDeception.net, ladies and gentlemen, or Infowars.com, or you can call toll-free, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. We'll be right back after this quick break for more news and information. We got a state senator coming up as the states rebel against the New World Order.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up, I'm going to play two different pieces of Pentagon propaganda. One, the new G.I. Joe movie trailer, The Rise of Cobra.
Cobra!
And then, I'm going to play a Kid Rock propaganda video. The Pentagon is talking about 40-plus billion worldwide, upwards of 10 billion of that domestically, to pay for music videos, movies. It's called propaganda placement. They call it product placement. I call it propaganda placement. And it's going on everywhere. So we'll be playing those videos live at PrisonPlanet.tv and analyzing them. Of course, the radio listeners will hear the audio as well, and I'll stop and comment on it. Then I'll get into some other news. We have State Senator Dan Patrick, one of the most powerful state senators, saying that they're going to put state forces on the border because Mexico's collapsing and the feds won't stop it. That's the plan. It's in the Security Prosperity Partnership documents to basically let the border collapse and collapse Mexico to overrun the U.S., then say a North American Union security perimeter contiguous on the North American continent, no longer borders at Mexico and Canada with the U.S., but contiguous from Guatemala, border with Mexico all the way up to Alaska. This is all on record, and they're going to do it through crises. They create crises, banking crises, military crises, terror crises, refugee crises, and then offer their solution. I told you 3 years ago they were racing to pass amnesty. I'm on record because Mexico was going to collapse, and they wanted to go ahead and have the amnesty plan set up beforehand. Now it's going to be harder for them. But for the next 10 minutes, I always love having him up once a month. And that's Marty Schachter of CalBenPureSoap.com or FiveStarSoap.com. And the reason I have him on is it really is a public service announcement. He's not just a great sponsor from now about 4 or 5 years. Marty has been in the organic soap business, California Certified Organic, before they even had that. I mean, he's the standard of it. Only sold to institutions. And then we found out about the soap. It was so great. And usually organic soap costs 2 or 3 times what the toxic detergents do. His is 85% off what the toxic detergents are. Forget the huge premium for organic. And these are the best organics out there. A lot of organics are too strong or burn you. He was in chemical weapons in World War II. Started Calben Soap when he got back with his dad. Now he runs it with his son and family in Oakland, California. And this is factory direct. But the reason he's here is last time I had him on, we didn't have time to get into what is in the stuff you're using at the store versus what organic soap is. Marty, it's great to have you here with us.
Hello, Alex. You have reached the Department of Homeland Cleanliness. Where satisfaction is guaranteed or double your dirt back. Let us at CalBend bail you out with our stimulus packages of 1 through 5 years of soap at a cost of 40 cents to 20 cents a day. No more $20 to $30 deficits a week. No junk science detergent chemicals. No more getting ripped off for cleanliness. No more deteriorating clothing, burning skin, itching scalp, outsourced products. No more. This is our goal. This is our philosophy, and we share it.
Marty, let's start at the beginning. Why did you start CalBend Pure Soap in 1947?
Well, when I got out of the Army in 47, after serving 2 years in Japan, my father left civil service. He was getting too old for that. They let him go, and we discovered, coincidentally, going to a supermarket shopping, that soap doesn't exist anymore, like Dove, like Ivory, like Feld's Naphtha, like White King. It were all detergents. Well, I learned in the Army what detergents were. They were a poison. They were made for poison gases. And we said, you know, that'd be a unique situation if we could start a small business selling real soap. Well, the only way we could do that was going to commercial enterprises, the hotels, motels, rest homes, convalescent hospitals. We couldn't get on the shelf anyway, no way. Procter & Gamble, Lever, and Colgate, they dominated the marketplace with billions of dollars worth of advertising and hypnotism and all the ways of brainwashing the consumer to get these toxic detergents. And we just started a little small company. My father and I started calling on hospitals and schools, and we were accepted because our products were virtually twice as good and half the price. So we built up our business institutionally, and then about 4 years ago, I got a call from Genesis Communication Network. What was his name?
No, it was Michael Trudeau. It was actually about 7 years ago. Time flies. But Marty, let's stop right there. The reason toxic waste cost a lot more is because of all the advertising. Big Oil had all this toxic waste from the refining of oil process. I know you were in the chemical course. You know this, but the audience doesn't. They have all these byproducts like sodium fluorides they put in the water. It's like China admits they dump their toxic waste in our food and then ship it to us. It's how they get rid of toxic waste. It's like lawn fertilizer. It says don't use this on vegetable or on farms because it's full of mercury, lead, arsenic. It runs off. That's how it's done. You discovered all that and put this out. And you know, we're not kidding when we tell people what is in the so-called soap that's really detergents that people are buying at the supermarket. So I mean, break people down, briefly break down for folks what's in your real soap versus the toxic waste they pay for at the grocery store.
Well, most of the detergents are made from waste petroleum, high alkalinity chemicals, and another ingredient that they add in large amounts is sodium chloride. And people think that's a new cleaner. Sodium chloride is table salt. Would you wash your face, your body, your baby, your home with table salt? No, we don't believe in that. We make our products from vegetable oils, coconut oils. We use juices from cherries, from almonds, to instead of perfumes, which are toxic, and has been very successful by the thousands and thousands of Alex Jones listeners that are buying our products now repeatedly, and it's been a real beneficial to know that we can share products that we've developed and since 1947 when we started, 62 years ago, and our slogan developed is "Our business is going down the drain," and we're very proud of that. That people buy our products, that they're safe, that they do the job, and they're far, far superior than anything offered in the supermarket right now. And it's a pleasure to have the, and to be endorsed by Alex and share our knowledge and our philosophy.
Well, Marty, you're a sweetheart. I mean, it's just a great product at a great price. Factory direct, 62 years, family business. I guess Bob Dylan would say someday growing your own garden will be against the law. I'm surprised they haven't banned you even being able to make, you know, real soap. How dare someone do this and not let it, us rip everybody off with toxic waste? I mean, it's such a sick fraud how people pay to be screwed, how they pay to have a bad deal. We have to become educated. We have to become informed and say no. Let's give out the toll-free number for folks that want to call and get one of the sampler tote bags, or for somebody that wants to get a free catalog, or go ahead and order a month's supply, a year's supply of soap. Break that down for folks, Marty.
1-800-340-7091. Or look us up on the web, 5starsoap.com. 5 the letter or 5 the number, it makes no difference. 5starsoap.com. Get a free catalog. It's a beautiful, detailed information educating you to upgrade your lives from the chemicals that you're getting now. We have samples. We have packages going from 1 year to 5 year at the lowest impossible cost. You won't believe it. You think this is too good to be true. It's true and it's good. And we can verify that with all the Alex Jones families that are enjoying our products.
Absolutely. 5-Star Soap, either the letter or spell it out, 5starsoap.com. Give them that number again, Marty.
800-340-7091. 1-800-340-7091. My whole family is waiting for your calls. It would be our pleasure to service you, take care of you, save your money, and take you out of coach and put you into first class.
Well, anything to help folks get a good deal and also sock it to the chemical companies that have taken over every facet of life. Give me a limerick in closing there. We always enjoy those, Marty.
Okay, well, this is in with apologies to Irving Berlin. Blue Cross had me agree to a new Blue Cross policy. Blue Cross said I would be thrilled that Blue Cross covered me. Then I took a fall, leg in a splint. They said I should read all the fine print. When a high fever I ran, they said I took out the wrong plan. Oh, Blue Cross, there seems to be plenty for Blue Cross and none for me. Thank you, all you Blue Cross members. Thank you very, very, very much.
All right, Marty Schachter, we'll talk to you again next month. God bless you.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Alex.
Take care, my friend. That really is a great guy. And 62 years doing that. But, I mean, just look at how we pay for all these services, and then they just give us toxic waste. Because they'd have to pay to store the sodium fluoride and what's left over when they crack the oil, when they refine it. Just Google the oil refining process. You can find all these university diagrams from, petroleum engineers and science classes, and it'll show you the hundreds of things they make out of oil, out of crude oil. But then there's all these other distillates that are toxic waste. That is what goes in the soap, because it's not soap. It's like the Federal Reserve isn't federal. The Patriot Act isn't a Patriot Act. When they pull troops out of a country, they call it a build down. Everything is a semantical lie with these crooks. And so we love Marty. He's a great guy. 5starsoap.com. Okay, when we come back, I've got to hurry here, because I got the state senator coming up. I want to play this Cobra, The Rise of Cobra video. and just illustrate how you're going to be a superhuman guy if you join the military. All the symbolism is the Army's White Star. It's a special forces group in the Army. Join this, kids, and you'll be superhuman. The truth is you'll get used up in foreign wars and injected with eugenics vaccines and be treated like crap and ripped off. Stay with us. All right, folks, we're going to go right into this video of military propaganda. Tens of billions of dollars domestically pushing the image. You need to join the military. It's the thing to do to be a hero. Well, it isn't our military anymore. It's being used for this empire and bankrupting us. And then coming up, we're going to get into some of the things that are happening in Mexico as well with a state senator. But right now, let's go ahead and play. I mean, it's like every movie now. It's just amazing. Transformers, you name it, and they admittedly are getting Pentagon resources. They approve the script. This is to get young people to envision themselves. Think of Cobra Commander. He lives in a cave. He's a terrorist. He's an international financier. He can never be stopped. Sounds like Bin Laden. You know, I mean, Cobra Commander 20 years ago was wearing the black ski mask and the uniform that our SWAT teams wear now. Little kids watch this, and it's predictive programming is what they call it, to then accept this later in life. And, you know, the imagery, the White Star of the Army, you know, calling in the secret unit, these bionic suits they've got, they're superhuman. This is all glorifying joining the military when this is not our military anymore. So let's go ahead and play this quick trailer from G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
When I'm finished, the world will never forget. Make the call.
Round up!
Technically, we don't exist. We answer to no one. And when all else fails, we don't.
What did you say your unit was called?
I didn't.
G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, coming out this summer. And you'll just be superhuman in these bionic suits. And then there's Three Doors Down and, you know, Kid Rock and all these videos. And people have made, you know, spoofs of them, showing them before movies. They're just everywhere, selling people on this image. And they're hiring aggravated felons, illegal aliens, illegal alien aggravated felons, mercenaries to make up the military. It's really nightmarish. This isn't our military anymore. Just like in Germany, the military wasn't the German people's anymore. It was under Adolf Alois Hitler's power. Let's go ahead now and go to the little Kid Rock warrior piece. Here it is, folks. And then we've got a state senator coming up. Yeah, he's a race car driver, he's a citizen, he's in the military. Just everything cool, man. NASCAR, rock and roll. Yeah! He's gonna fight Al-Qaeda! Yeah, baby! Ah! Inject me with a smallpox anthrax shot. When I shrivel up, put me in a coffin too. When I get out of the military, you'll cut my funding and rip me off. When you blow up the chemical dump, Camisea, and my brain stem rots and I become paralyzed, you'll tell me to take Prozac. NASCAR, partying, rock and roll, have some fun, this is cool. Oh yeah, oh I'm so tough, oh I'm Kid Rock, oh it's so yeah. Join the military, re-depleted uranium. It's just like playing video games. You'll be able to slaughter for real. And when we're done with you, when you do the devil sign high in the air, we got a soft kill weapon for you. Cause we know after you're done killing for us, you're gonna wake up when we screw you, and you're not gonna like it. So we're gonna inject you with the cancer viruses. Yeah. Yeah, 1,300,000 dead Iraqis. But we'll sell you the image that we're helping them. It's so much fun. It's so good. Yeah, New World Order. Yeah. Meanwhile, we're also training to confiscate your guns door to door. Yeah. Let's come, baby. Let's party. Yeah. 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 everybody will love you. You like little kids, don't you? To join the military. Yeah. Yeah.
Download this song free. Go to Yahoo and search National Guard Warrior.
Absolutely. And your tax money paid for that propaganda. It's everywhere to suck your children in. Meanwhile, CNN right here. Just blew my voice out. Money to put kids in prison with setups with the judges getting kickbacks to put your children in prison. That's what's really going on with this criminal government that wants to destroy all the liberties we've got. I'm Alex Jones. This is the one, the only GCN Radio Network, simulcasting with the InfoWars Radio Network and PrisonPlanet.tv. You found it. The tip of the spear in the InfoWar. We will defeat tyranny. We swear eternal resistance to tyranny. Stay with us. Upwards of 30 states have now introduced resolutions saying no to gun confiscation, no to martial law, no to Obama's forced compulsory service, no to all of it. We've been having state reps and state senators on. We've got Ron Paul lining up next week to talk about it as well. Very exciting. We had a state rep on last week from Texas who was introduced 10th Amendment, 9th Amendment resolutions redeclaring Texas sovereignty. But State Senator Dan Patrick, very influential senator, big history and talk radio, also a best-selling author. You can go to patrick.senate.state.tex.us or just Google State Senator, Texas State Senator Dan Patrick, and find his page and books and all the stuff he's done. But he's moving to say if the feds won't protect the border that's now collapsing, Mexico in collapse, narco-terrorism, police being killed on both sides, thousands dead, that he's got a plan to actually secure that border. And I remember 2 years ago, Perry went down there and did some staged events with Homeland Security. State Senator, it's good to have you here with us.
Hey, Alex, great to be on, and I'm on Facebook, so it's easy. The easiest place to find me is Dan Patrick on Facebook, and we've got thousands of friends out there, so that's great. Hey, great to be on with you. Appreciate everything you do out there for the cause. More than ever, Alex, more than ever, we need to be sure we talk about, you know, the history that this nation was founded upon, the Judeo-Christian ethic, the freedoms, because we are rapidly losing them, I mean, day by day, at the hands of the Obama administration. And quite frankly, you know, I blame it on a lot of my own party for allowing this to happen. And so the next time we are back in charge in Washington, of course I serve in Austin, we're going to have to be sure we have the real deal, the real people, not people in name only, who campaign on things they don't believe on. It's time for real leaders and real believers, because time is running out.
Tell us the situation. I mean, for those around the country listening who don't know how really bad it is in Texas and across the entire contiguous border with Mexico in the Southwest, what is happening? And I mean, CNN, Wall Street Journal, the Pentagon, Homeland Security say Mexico has a good chance of collapsing. El Paso Times went out quietly. The National Guard's beefing up down there, preparing to shut the border. 100 million people down there during collapse. Can you break down with the intel you've got really what we're facing?
Sure. And let me tell you, Alex, something. I was on Fox last week in the morning and also with in the afternoon one of their new shows, and talked about the fact that last Tuesday is the first time in modern history that Texas went on alert. And until I broke that story, really, in fact, very few people at the Capitol knew it. And we have a multiple stage. I won't go into too much detail because of Homeland Security, but we have a multiple stage alert process. And we triggered, or the governor triggered step one of that, to my knowledge. He may have triggered another step, but I think it was step one. And the reason was, Alex, we saw for the first time something we had not seen before. We have 19 border crossings with Mexico and Texas. And a couple of the key bridges, you saw those people forming on the other side, blocking the bridges. Well, we didn't know if that crowd of 50 would turn into 500, turn into 5,000, turn into 50,000. Was this the beginning of the revolution? Was this the beginning of the takeover? And if so, we needed to be ready. So that first stage alert went out. The plan in Texas, Alex, and I've supported a number of issues for a number of years, even before I got into the legislature. But here's the breakdown. We have six sectors with Mexico of that 2,000-mile, 1,800-mile border with Mexico. You know, two-thirds of it in Texas. And a lot of it is out there in no man's land. You get down Del Rio and other places where it's easy to spot people coming across there because they have to come across the river. They have to go over some desert or some pretty sparse area to get up to a freeway or a highway, rather, to get to a city. That's relatively easy to control. The key is your big points of entry. That's where all the illegals are coming in. That's where we need the fencing. That's where we need to beef up our Border Patrol, our Department of Public Safety, state troopers, our National Guard. That's what we need to do. So it's not like we've got to mass troops or personnel along, you know, 1,200 miles, 1,400 miles of border. We simply need to be sure across from El Paso, Laredo, McAllen, Brownsville, and some other key points so we can get this job done. And if there's a refugee problem, Alex, the refugees need to be in northern Mexico, not southern Texas, because there's two possible scenarios that I see. One is the slow economic meltdown of Mexico, where you just have hundreds of thousands of people, I mean, beyond the normal immigration of illegals, coming here out of desperation, just to eat. And then you have the rapid migration, mass migration, which would happen if Calderon was assassinated, if the drug cartels take over the government like happened in Colombia. You know, last week, and again, the mainstream news doesn't cover this, Alex, but, you know, last Tuesday after the bridge closings on the Mexican side, on Wednesday, there was a grenade launcher and a bazooka used to take out eight government officials in Reynosa, which is just south of McAllen.
Well, sir, as you know, the Dallas Morning News talked about car bombs killing people in Dallas, and that's just a tiny blurb. Rocket attacks on newspapers on the Texas border. It used to be a thriving tourist place down there. I went down there when I was a kid with my parents. It's all shut down, boarded up now. And, I mean, we've already been seeing the collapse of Mexico with these 30 million illegal aliens that have been flooding in the last decade. But you're talking about a fast collapse. How bad, from the people studying this, the experts you're talking to, could it get?
Well, you know, I think what is very concerning to me is that, you know, if you'd talked about this even 2 years ago, and yes, we've seen a mass migration of illegal immigrants into the United States, driven by economic factors, better jobs here, better life here. But we didn't see that because people in Mexico were running out of fear, or literally running because the economy had totally collapsed there. And so what has happened is, if you'd have said 2 years ago, could Mexico collapse, people would have laughed. And I'd like to think that it's not probable, but it's possible. And the fact that it's possible, Alex, that a country so large and one of our major trading partners, one of our big oil partners, just a stone's throw across the Rio Grande, that they could collapse is a major issue for this administration, who I don't think will probably know how to handle it, and for this country. So, obviously, you know, the question is, what happens if you have millions trying to get here? You have economic chaos in the United States, so we've got to be sure they are not allowed to come here.
Well, we already have, you know, collapse, as you know, along the border from California to here.
That's already a civil war.
It's already a civil war, and now you're trying to be conservative here and saying, we hope this doesn't happen, and it probably won't happen, but it already is happening. Where I've talked and interviewed all these Texas sheriffs going back 5-6 years ago, where if they grab a truckload of marijuana or cocaine, the Mexican troops come across the border, put guns to their heads, and say, we're going to kill you if you don't give that to them. And then Homeland Security a year ago told the National Guard not to fire back when Mexican troops shoot at them.
I can't comment, and I've heard those stories. I've never been able to confirm them or verify them. And I'm pretty, strong in that area. But I will say this to you, that just in a week, let me tell you how much has changed in a week. When I was on Fox television last week, I made the statement, and I've done a number of radio interviews, telling people in America, if you have kids in college, do not let them, under any circumstance, go to Mexico. Even the resort towns of Acapulco or Cancun or Cozumel, do not let them go.
Senator, that now the major university organizations today just advise the students not to go.
Right.
And I'm talking to people that go down there for honeymoons, adults.
Yeah.
They'll even
adults.
Be in Yucatan that's supposedly safe, and they see cops and people busting windows, and then the police come into the resort at 10:01 p.m. and say, you were supposed to be out of the pool. Give me your watch. Give me your wallet. It's the government itself collapsing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the problem. There, you don't know where to turn to for justice. About a month ago, the person in the Calderon government who was in charge of the anti-kidnapping squad was arrested because he was taking bribes of $450,000 a month. And he was head of the anti-kidnapping charge. There was a scheduler who knew the whereabouts of Calderon, who supposedly was being paid $100,000 a month just to keep the whereabouts of the president known to some of the drug cartels. This is an explosive situation that most likely will get worse before it gets better. Car bombs, a high-level assault on government. And I think the big question that the Calderon government will have to resolve and the Obama administration, will we send American troops into Mexico at some point to help the Mexican government?
We've had to do it twice before.
And so far the Mexican government has not wanted the troops, and obviously our troops are stretched thin. And you don't want to be in the middle of that type of war. But this is coming. And here's the good news, if there's good news out of here. The reason we've seen an escalation in violence and really civil war along the northern border is because when Vicente Fox was president, he did basically nothing in terms of drug law enforcement. When Calderon came in, he came in and he has 45,000 soldiers spread across Mexico taking on the drug cartels. So they're in a fight. I mean, it's a battle. And so the drug cartels are battling the government. He's battling back. And so that's a positive. But in that positive, it has created this great carnage and it's just terrible violence that's impacting our country as well. So the situation has to be watched closely by those of us in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona.
Well, Senator
California.
Patrick, let me throw this in though, in the 6 minutes we have left with your 7 minutes, because we have don't have much time here. Specifically, though, you've been on TV talking about if the feds won't protect the border, the state needs to do it. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, actually, when I ran for office, I'm serving my second session. And when I ran back in 2005, I made the point that, yes, it's the federal government's responsibility. That's what my opponents kept saying. I said, that is true, but it's Texas' problem, and we're going to have to solve it. And I believe Governor Perry has the will, and I believe others of us have the will in Texas, that if the federal government does not react, we must react.
Okay, what is that plan? I mean, do you put the state police in there? Do you do emergency funding?
Well, as I mentioned before, it's a number of plans. Number one, you've got to send more aid to the county sheriffs who are they're the frontline battle guys. Secondly, you've got to work and Border Patrol and
what about a Texas fence? What about a Texas fence?
Well, as I said a moment ago, it is a waste of resources to put a fence out in the middle of no man's land because God has given us a natural fence called the Rio Grande.
But what about in the key areas?
But in the key areas, that's where we need it. Now, 90% of the land on the border is Texas land, so we have a lot of authority there. We have to, there are some constitutional provisions that we have to be careful of, but at the end of the day, we have the Texas State Guard, several thousand strong, which could grow quickly. I think volunteers would step up very quickly. We have the National Guard that the governor can call out. We have a large state police force. We have our game wardens. We have our DPS, and all working in concert with the Border Patrol.
But you can't tie their hands.
I believe if we made it a major priority to ratchet up our level of boots on the ground. Every time we put boots on the ground, we see illegal immigration go down dramatically.
But, Senator, from what you've said, we need to put them there now because it could collapse any day, any month, any year. We're already seeing a collapse. So are you moving now to go ahead and draw up the plan while it's in session, perfect timing, and get the forces down there we need?
Well, the plan is to be drawn up by the Homeland Security Director and with the governor's oversight. And obviously, the fact that I'm speaking out and others are speaking out, we are making sure there's attention to that plan. And secondly, we already have in place, I believe, the assets to move relatively quickly, and I mean relatively quickly, in the worst-case scenario. So I am
all right.
Confident that in a worst-case scenario, we will be ready to meet that challenge.
All right.
I'm also confident that we're taking the right steps we need now.
Senator Patrick, the big issue here is we can't tie the hands of the police if they're down there being shot at. They need to open up these are real terrorists, not the little ones sneaking around underneath the desk that the government's taking all our liberties to fight. This is real terrorism. They're killing police, citizens, kidnapping Americans. I mean, we need to move heavy assets down there. Mexico's attacked us repeatedly. They attacked us during World War One. I'm not saying the government's doing this now, but I'm sorry to say the people down there, and especially the leadership, they hate this country. I know you know about the Plan of San Diego. The German tried to launch attacks and gave the orders in World War II. I mean, this is a country that hates our guts, and I'm saying if Mexico wants to start something, I'm talking about their drug gangs, we need to wipe them out.
Well, I think the biggest concern that most of us here have, Democrats, Republicans alike, and I'm a conservative Reagan Republican, but I think it's across the aisle. All of us are concerned about the transnational gangs and the violence of these gangs ratcheting up in America to where it has in New Mexico. Mexico. And also the violence just spilling over on the border. You know, a lot of the police officials, a lot of the executives, a lot of the government officials who actually work in Mexico, live across the border in Texas.
Sir, that's my final question. They're afraid they live here. That's what I'm saying here is that they target police, they target military. So you know, they say, take money or we'll kill you. This is already spilling over into Texas and California.
Well, have seen some of it, but we have not. For example, in Juarez and Ciudad Juarez, across from El Paso, there were 1,600 murders in Juarez, which is, you know, right across the bridge from El Paso. There were 18 murders last year. So far, we've been able to hold that level of violence on their side. I mean, 1,600 to 18, and those are real facts, real numbers, is significant. But when those numbers, we're already seeing a lot of the minor crime. We're seeing the carjackings. We're seeing and major
minor
crime as well. But we have not seen that spillover yet. But that's what we're concerned about. But you know, as you well know, Alex, the number two city in the world for kidnapping is Phoenix, Arizona. Mexico City is first. Phoenix, Arizona is second.
Yeah, it's already here. And the media covers up most of it.
Yeah.
And the diseases and the cholera and the drug-resistant TB. It's bankrupting the states with all the anchor babies. This country is going to fall apart if we don't do something. All I have to say, sir, is I appreciate what you're doing. We're going to support you. I'd like to get you
Thank
in studio someday
yeah,
here
well,
in Austin, or I'd like to send a crew down. But in closing, I got to disagree with you, though. I am for drug decriminalization. If that happened, these drug gangs would start trying to murder politicians that try to decriminalize. If we decriminalize, not legalize, that would end the $400 million profit that is funding these people.
Well, I know in Mexico, supposedly their government is looking at that. And in closing, let me just say once again, Alex, I appreciate your focus on this. And also, I invite people to go to my Facebook page, Dan Patrick. And they can look, you know, be my friend, and we keep in touch with what's going on a regular basis. Lastly, I'd like to share and take 10 seconds. We have an award-winning documentary that we have done, which is an incredible story. It's a true story about Texas. It has sold thousands and thousands of copies. It's called The Heart of Texas. If you go to Heart of Texas, the movie, I was the executive producer, theheartoftexasthemovie.com.
It's a Christian film.
It's a Christian film, but it's a film about what all of us face in life at some point, and that's forgiveness. And it's a wonderful true story that's one of the most amazing stories your audience and you will ever see. I'll send you over a copy, and I think you'll be on the air saying, folks, you got to see this.
Well, I was about to say, let us have you in studio. I know you're very busy here in the legislative session. Let us have you in studio, or we can send a TV crew down. We also do local TV.
Sure.
And spend some time on the film, because I was interested in it. I'd actually already heard about the film. But as this develops, let us have you back up soon, State Senator Dan Patrick. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Goodbye. Okay, folks, there you heard it. And they had to admit, Mexico's now looking at trying to decriminalize because it's about to overthrow the government that tried to come in and take over the drug cartel profits for themselves. That's what's really going on. Stay with us. Yeah, folks. The CIA and the big money laundering banks, we told you this years before it happened from Sully Castillo and other contacts from the DEA, is going to try to take down four major and a few sub-cartels that weren't paying their cut to the central banks, just like the U.S. military invaded Colombia over the FARC not paying their cut. And the drug gangs are fighting back because they're not cowards. But the media covers up the dead cops and citizens here in the U.S. It's much worse than you were even hearing. And the SPP, North American Union, talks about Mexico collapsing and using that. Calderon was put in there to do this. And we're not just saying that today. We said that years ago. We said that as Fox was leaving. This is the plan. Crises, order out of chaos. I want to hit this story about taking blood from children. I'm going to get some guests on about that. But before we go any further, I wanted to briefly just tell you about one of our great sponsors, EcolaBlue.com. Fabulous atmospheric water generator. It's like a water cooler that has hot and cold water, 7 filters. It goes through, but no water or no water bottle attached to it. And I show this to people, and they can't believe it. The air you're in is filled with water, and it doesn't come out of a city utility system that's full of mercury and lead and sodium fluoride and chlorine and all the dead bacteria, because it just kills the bacteria. You're eating all those dead bacteria and other particulate. So give Ecola Blue a call. It's just a fabulous system. 800-691-6043. 800-691-6043 is the number. ECOLOBlue.com. 1-800-691-6043. For survival, just for clean water. Guaranteed no fluoride in this, baby. I mean, this is just fabulous water. I drink it constantly. In fact, I need to fill my glass back up. EcolaBlue.com. All right, I keep mentioning this the last 2 days, but I haven't really gotten into it, and I need to. So I'm going to try to remember, guys, tomorrow to spend 20 minutes on this. But it's just so important. Texans unknowingly donate children's blood to research. And this Austin American Statesman story itself is a whitewash. Medical privacy advocates, ethicists say parents should be asked for consent before newborn screening samples are kept. They lie and say it's a state law, like they lie and say taking vaccines is a state law. And they take your baby's blood for a blood test, but with the health department set up under eugenics instead of the hospital doing the test. And it goes into a federal database and is sold to international companies who isolate proteins and DNA and then patent it. And then there's been federal cases where they say they own your blood and you want to get a gene therapy. This company has your genes already sequenced. It goes through the registry and they say, you got to pay us all this money to be able to have your own gene therapy. For almost 7 years, another lie, it's 36, the state has identified storing blood from nearly all newborns in Texas without their parents' consent for possible use in medical research. It's not possible use. It's being done. The blood is, remember, I'm telling you this for 13 years. The blood is collected as part of a 44-year-old state mandate. So see, they're saying 44. First it's 7, then it's 44. I've confirmed globally 36 years. How many years did I tell you that? And showed you government documents. The blood is collected as part of a 44-year-old state mandate newborn screening program in which hospitals, birthing centers, and midwives draw blood from a baby seal. See, it's not law. It's mandated. The state either discards the blood after 6 months, total lie. They store it in Michigan and San Antonio. Or more recently, store it for 3 years before destroying it. Another lie. I'm not saying this Marianne Roser is bad. She just doesn't know what she's talking about. But starting in 2002, the state health department began collecting and keeping blood indefinitely for current or future medical research, a practice that has been the subject of legal challenge in Minnesota. We had those people on fighting it last year. 5 dots of blood are collected on paper. No, they take ampules out of the baby seal, folks, not just the 5 dots, and are collected on paper for screening and then stored. Under the health department's policy, the samples can be used for medical community for things like cancer research, birth defect studies, and calibration of lab equipment. Now, they're using it for a DNA database on you, and it's popping up with insurance refusing people coverage. We are out of time, ladies and gentlemen. But I will be back live tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. This show grows when you spread the word about the free podcast, about the AM and FM affiliates, all our great stations, about how you can listen on shortwave. And we had Dr. Edwin Vieira on. I covered a lot of other news in the start of the show. So powerful info coming up right now as we start retransmission at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Great job to the crew and the producers, Rob and Joey. God bless you all. We'll see you back live tomorrow. Stay with us. We'll be back in 70 seconds.